Get your brand new worms off my lawn. Like, once is okay, but that's about it. I'm out of candy, kids.
Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast, the not so PC PC gaming podcast. I'm Bobby.
I'm Emilio.
And I hope you played some games this week, because I did not. I had no time this week. I actually got to play a few, not very much though. So
yeah, I got some time in for sure. I guess I'll just get right into it. Right after we got off the show, people started messaging me that Neon Abyss was going to be free on the Xbox Game Pass. That felt super fast. Hi everybody, how's it going? All right, now let me get back into it.
Well, we should probably hit with the big news, right? This is going to be our last remote show. Next week, we'll be back in the studio doing things like we usually do.
Yeah, and maybe if we have the time, we're going to try to switch out the studio too, and maybe have a new look by next week. But we'll see about that. I'm back to work starting tomorrow, COVID-free, and I got cleared to hang out with people again.
Nice.
It's kind of a weird spot where I can't give it and I can't get it right now. So really, I should just be running around the streets naked, but it seems like a bit much.
Yeah, I don't know how other people would feel about that.
That's the problem, yeah.
Not a good look. Bad optics, as they say.
But onto Neon Abyss. Yeah, so people started messaging me that it was on Game Pass, and I was fucking super stoked because I was going to buy it full price, you know, whatever it is. Was it $20? I think it is.
It is. And, yep, $19.99.
Yeah. So I was super stoked, downloaded it, played fine, and I guess I'll just get into it. It's from VWoo Games. I clicked on them. They don't seem to have done anything ever before, and their Steam page is in Chinese writing. And I thought it was kind of funny that it's a foreign developer, because there's a lot of inside jokes. Like maybe like I would tend toward American jokes, but whatever. Maybe they have a good cultural joke person. I don't know. But like there's a in this game, you have these little familiars. You can see them in the screen, the little eggs behind you.
Yeah, bring your mic up a little bit. We lost you for a sec. There we go.
You could do little. Sometimes they have a chance to hatch, and sometimes the egg will just break, and sometimes you get this little baby, and one of them looks exactly like Donald Trump, and his name is the Grabber, and I know, and he grabs all your coins. He's a little fuck, but sometimes he does something good. So anyway, it's pretty on the nose. Even though it's a 2D platformer roguelike, action roguelike, it is so much like Binding of Isaac. I mean, if this was done as a twin stick shooter, it would have been, I think there would have been an uproar about how much it is like Binding of Isaac.
Like an obvious 90%
of it is Binding of Isaac. So, I mean, everything from after the fifth level, you unlock two more levels, and those two levels take full hearts instead of single hearts. Like specific shit. From like super, like, why would they do that exactly like it? Either it's a crazy homage to it or they knew it was going to be a success. They're running at a like 95% approval rating right now on Steam. So, I mean, they did it right. What it has that Binding of Isaac doesn't have, first of all, is the 2D platforming, which I could take or leave. I probably prefer twin stick shooting, but you know, it's cool to have one like this. There's other roguelikes like that have this perspective, and they're fine. I don't really have a preference. I would say as long as the game is good, the music is absolutely fantastic. It is so good. It sounds and feels like you're at a rave, but a good rave with good music. And the colors, you know, neon's in the name. So they use neon quite a bit, but they don't overuse it. It's not like a whole neon world and you're just running through a neon world. They use it as a very good highlighter or showing things off. The game is actually pretty dark. Like it's all grays and blacks except for the neon stuff. So it really pops. The other thing that really, the only thing that's different than Binding of Isaac, when you're unlocking things in Binding of Isaac, they almost seem, even the unlocking seems random. Like you don't know what you're going to get. It's just at the end of a good run, you might unlock three things and you won't even know what those things are. This game does it a little different, and this is why they call it a roguelite, even though this one really is right on the border. So you have each character, you start with two, has a skill tree. But it's not really a skill tree, really it's an item tree. So you pay these coins that you get in the game, and then you unlock things in the item tree, and then it guarantees that item on that next run. So, but just that one run. But now that item is unlocked forever. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So you get it once for guaranteed, and then from then on it's in the item pool. Very Binding of Isaac. But what isn't like Binding of Isaac is you don't get, in Binding of Isaac you could get unlock a item and literally never get it. There's 475 items. There's a good chance you're just never going to get certain items. This one at least it guarantees you're going to see everything, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it helps for when like you have to choose between two things. It's good to know. Like, oh, I remember this item. I bought it in the store or whatever. Also in that item tree are other characters. So each character can unlock one other character. And it just keeps going down that way. So there's like 10 characters or something. There's also free DLC on the Game Pass. Ray told me about it. I haven't done it yet. But apparently you could just go to the thing and just click it and you get two extra characters. So that's awesome. Another thing that was refreshing, the bosses, I mean, at least for me and John, we were talking about it, are not that hard. It's weird. It's a weird thing. I guess Binding of Isaac is kind of like that, but I've played it so much, it's hard to remember if I thought the bosses were initially hard. Mm-hmm. The world bosses are hard. You know, the fifth level boss. That's super hard. But yeah, just kind of coasted through all the bosses. You don't need a crazy gun, which is nice because, like, you hate to throw a run away because you didn't get a decent items. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You can easily beat the first two levels with the starting guns, which is good. It's refreshing, mm-hmm. I feel like.
How far into the game do you think you made it?
I killed the first world boss, so equivalent to mom. And then it says, oh, your new target. And it even tells you, like, it's this new person, right? But that new person's on the seventh level. So you end that game. That game's over. You start a new run. And now you have seven levels to go through. I'm sure as soon as I beat that, it'll probably be nine levels and so on and so on. So they just keep moving the flagpole just like... Mm-hmm. I mean, it's
just like Binding of Isaac. Yeah.
Just like Binding of Isaac. So yeah. One other thing. Okay, so the babies work different. There's babies in Binding of Isaac. There's babies in this. They just follow you around. In Binding of Isaac, they have weird effects. In this one, they have weird effects. But... there's two new things that they did here. One, they level up. So if you keep them around and you're getting kills or they're getting kills, they have an XP bar. Well, you can't see the bar, but they level up and they get stronger and stronger. But they can also die. So if they get hit by random shots too much, they have a hit point. It'll be like four hit points. And if they get hit four times, they're dead. So you lose that guy. But there's ones that aren't so great, like the grabber. He grabs all your money. And sometimes he throws you items. Sometimes they're good items. Sometimes they're bad items. So he could be good. He could be bad. There's another one that takes your hearts and turns them into moldy hearts. I don't see any benefit out of that one. But all the other ones seem to be pretty cool. There's a clown that starts off with, like, you know what it really seems like? It seems like that meme where that guy's putting on clown makeup. You know the four stages of the clown? You know what I'm talking about? The guy's putting them. It's like a very famous meme. Yeah. Anyway, it's that. So you start off with the first baby. It looks like he's just a guy with like funny hair, and then it just keeps going down the to the list until the last one. He's the full clown. Yeah, that one right there. Oh, exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's like his four levels of clowndom. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I could strongly recommend it. $20 is a little steep for this, but I mean the music really puts it over the top, man. There's something about that muffled bass that sounds like it's next door that I love. You know, it sounds like a party and it's bleeding through the wall. But then when you start fighting, it goes full, like you're in the middle of the party. And then right after you kill everything, it goes back to that subdued, like, underbase. So, yeah, I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of this game. You know, the first hour I was talking shit about it. Not that like I didn't like it. I was like, oh, there's better roguelikes out there. Next thing I know, it's 5 hours later. You know what I mean? And John's playing side by side with me, and Ray's playing it side by side. Not that we're co-op. There's no co-op. But...
yeah, it's single player only.
Yeah, we were all playing at the same time and comparing notes and shit. It was pretty great.
So how much was Binding of Isaac when it first came out?
I want to say $14.99, but I can't.
I think that's right, $14.99. Sure. I mean, it's obviously much cheaper now, but I'm just trying to like compare it to this. But that's not a bad idea to model your game after Binding of Isaac, but do it as a platformer instead.
Actually, we talked about it when we were talking about this game a lot because there's three of us playing, and we're like, I think they went with the platformer to just like completely separate itself, almost. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a different game, even though it's the exact same game.
Yeah. Well, that sounds pretty good. And, I mean, if it's on the Xbox Game Pass, then you could get it for free or for $1 along with a ton of other games. And this game just came out, too, July 14th. Free demo on Steam.
Game Pass is going to be getting better. I'll talk about that in the news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've got a lot of things going on. Game Pass, Xbox Game Pass, still the best deal out there.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well,
still not worth your $5, though.
I don't like subscriptions because I don't get value out of them. Like, if I want to play a game, I usually just buy it and play
it.
Yeah,
we've heard it before, Bobby.
But
too bad your girlfriend doesn't have an Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah, I know, right? maybe I should talk her into it. But she thought about getting a Nintendo Switch. But it was during like peak coronavirus, so like it was when they were bought out and there was price gouging, so that wasn't happening.
Dude, I looked into that. I don't know if I talked about it on the podcast. Maybe. Basically, sneakerheads, the way that they have a corner on the market is they have bots that buy the stock before anybody else can, and then they so anyway, they just shifted their bots to buy Switches instead of sneakers. Mm-hmm. And so they just had the corner on the market again.
Yeah, that sucks for everyone else.
It does.
All right. Well, we talked a few weeks ago about Worms Rumble. This was the new Worms game that was coming out. That is a real-time Worms game. 2.5D side-scroller, you know, it's kind of similar to the game you were talking about, but of course, versus mode. A new format for them, like doing the real-time thing. I did get into the beta. I signed up for it. The beta was going on for a couple of days. I managed to get into it. All they had was one mode, and it wasn't Battle Royale. It was just, you know, you've got like 5 minutes and get as many kills as you can. If you get killed, you got 10-second respawn or something like that. So pretty straightforward, not a whole lot to take from there. But I did get to get a feel for the game and also for the like their XP system and their shop. I got to say, like, I was surprised. This game actually feels like Worms. Despite it being real time, this game still feels like Worms. And I wasn't really expecting that. It's probably
because of the weapons.
Yeah, all the old weapons are there. It's got the bazooka, it's got the banana, the holy hand grenade, and you have to run around on the map and collect these, or you can kill people and pick up their items. And you can equip like a bunch of weapons, scroll through them. Grenades are on middle mouse button, and you can only have one grenade type at a time. Pretty straightforward. The map they had, though, was the mall, the one that you see in a lot of the screenshots and videos here. But I got to say, though, it's missing something from the original Worms games. There's always the funnest thing in the Worms games was just to, like, saunter on over to somebody who's by a ledge and just give them the old poke and push them off the ledge. You know, the environmental damage is what made that game so fun and hilarious at times.
That's what
you
know, I was going to ask. Does it have destructible environments? It looks like it doesn't.
It has parts, like there's a ventilation shaft you can go through and you can shoot out like the door closing it. There's things like that, or you can shoot like a platform that blocks your way. There's parts of it that are destructible and they're highlighted. There's also the ventilation shafts. If you walk through them, the enemy can't see you in there. So it's a way of sneaking up on them too. And your right click is a baseball bat, so you can knock them with that, get them with the melee. But really, there's no, you can't push them off the map. Like, or, you know, in the old Worms games, the water level used to rise after a certain time, and then you could push them into the water, or the water level would just rise and kill them if it wasn't their turn. So it's missing that. And that really was a big part of Worms for me. But the game looks good. It handles just fine. Like, a lot of the cosmetics are great. And when you load into the game, if you have a really good record and a lot of kills, then it shows you at the load screen, you know, nice and big, the top three players there. So there is a reason to get those cosmetics. You do see them if you're on that screen. But
yeah, it's funny that, like, that's the entire point of Worms almost, is to like kill them with environment, right? And then if mm-hmm. they take that out, but then you're saying that it still feels like it somehow.
Yeah, I mean, the combat, it feels like Worms, but just really sped up. And it is kind of interesting playing Worms in that way. Of course, you miss out on some of the stuff, like hitting someone with a baseball bat, knocking them into like a mine that happened to be there, and then they just get blown up and over a mountain and fall into the water. You know, those weird kind of chain reactions like that. I mean, some things like that still happen a little bit in real time, but it's definitely a new take on it. Again, I think this game's going to be free to play. I totally see this as a free to play game, but I'm not quite sure how they monetize on that. But maybe
well,
not.
Well, the cosmetics, right?
Yeah, but all the cosmetics that I saw were unlockable with the in-game currency that you can earn as you play, or just by reaching a certain level. So I don't know. They're going to obviously add more cosmetics in there. So maybe that's where that comes in. Maybe a season pass. I don't know if they do go the free to play model. I enjoy it. I kind of like it, but I don't think this is like a new direction for Worms. I don't think this is like where the series or the franchise should be headed. I kind of like it as a one-off, but you know, let's not make a habit out of it, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And I'd like to see it in a few more modes too. Like just the standard deathmatch was kind of cool. It gives you an idea. I understand it's just the open beta. But the battle royale would probably, I actually thought it was battle royale. So when I first played, I died and I just kind of stood there and I'm like, do I have to watch this play out? I guess I leave. And then I left and then I didn't get any XP or anything. I'm like, that's kind of weird. So, then the next time I realized, oh, I can respawn, but,
it's not battle royale then.
Right. No, that's going to be a different mode. The open beta was not.
Gotcha.
It was just standard deathmatch. I mean, I'd like to see team deathmatch, battle royale. I'd like whatever crazy modes they can come up with. I'd like to see all that stuff to get a bigger picture. But it's looking all right. We'll see. What's the release date on this? 2020.
Bobby's get your brand new Worms off my lawn. Like once is okay, but that's about it. I'm out of candy, kids.
Let's not make a habit out of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's Worms Rumble coming out 2020 sometime. I would, you know, I do like the graphics. I should end on that. I really like the 2.5D graphics. I think that's great. And I think all Worms games going forward should be like that.
Oh yeah. That last one, dude, WMD is like pretty rough. You know, it's like, it gets the job done.
All the Worms games look the same to me. They really do.
Yeah.
A lot of them just look exactly the same.
You're exactly right, dude. They should do, and also update the controls. Or I don't know if they're difficult on purpose. I always just end up killing myself every time.
Yeah, the PC controls are a little wonky. That's true. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So you played Shadow Tactics too, right?
I did. Vinny, who's gonna come talk to us in a little bit, it looks like this just in. He sent this article during the Steam sale. It was a cross-reference between things that are over 80% off with over 90% mm-hmm. scores.
Adjust your mic again.
I'm not hitting it.
Anyway. Sagging.
No, dude, I took my pills. So, yeah, anyway, this was the number one I had to get off of that list. It was like 93, 96%, something like that, and $4.99. And I was like, yeah, fucking bought, right? And especially coming off of Desperados and really enjoying the demo, I picked this up, and I knew that I was going to enjoy it because of the reviews, but I was hesitant only in that I was like, oh, I've already played Desperados, which is the newest shit. Like, this is not going to be that game. It's not going to be as good, I'm thinking, because, you know, things progress or whatever. Turns out it's almost the exact same game. Like, I can't really see much difference at all, except for the setting. And that's about it. The graphics are superb. I'll talk a little bit about what it is. It's a stealth tactics game. As set in like a shogun-y type setting. You start with a ninja, then you get a samurai, you get a sniper, and you get a little girl who likes traps. There's another one, but I haven't got the fifth one yet. And it's just really well thought out game. It's problem solving that feels really rewarding when you pull it off. Even though you're encouraged to quick save and quick load all the time. Like, you're encouraged. There's a timer. There's like, hey, man, it's been a minute since you quick saved. You should probably quick save. Like, they want you to do it because that's how hard this game is, right? So you're tinkering with tactics. There's not one way you're supposed to do this. They just throw a whole bunch. There's probably 8, 9, 10 ways to do every single puzzle. And the puzzle being, you know, kill everybody without getting caught is the puzzle. It's always the same puzzle, but it's just different situations, especially once you start getting the other characters. The voice lines they're okay, but everything else is like top notch. I would say the story and the voice acting is probably not, it's just not up to the level of everything else, I guess, or maybe it wasn't my cup of tea. But it's the game itself, what's important, the fun factor, is pretty great. Let's see. One of the ways that you could kill somebody is if they happen to be walking by an ox, you can like throw a rock at the ox and it'll kill the guy, right? Like, it'll kick him and kill him. Mm-hmm. And that's something. That's a different kind of kill than if you would have like cut his head off. Cause when a guard comes by, he'll be like, oh, obviously this guy is an idiot. He was standing behind that ox. So he's not going to raise the alarm, as opposed to you cutting somebody's head off and, you know, it being obvious that there's an assassin on the loose. So there's a lot of little stuff like that. Fucking with things in the environment to cause a distraction, things like that. And the problem solving is like, you have four characters coming from four different angles with four different sets of skills and different kind of enemies that you have to take down. And there's so many layers of what can happen. It's just really rewarding when you pull off something that initially at first looks impossible. You're like, what? How the fuck am I ever going to get through this? And then after you do it, you're like, you're goddamn right I did that shit. You know what I mean? So it's exactly Desperados 3 at a tenth of a price. So if you haven't played this, buy this. Do not buy Desperados 3 and just wait for the sale for Desperados 3. Because apparently, you know, they're all about me games is all about deep price cuts.
And the game is still on sale. It's $5.99 right now.
Yeah, it's still on sale. You can pick it up right now, and I strongly suggest that you do. I wouldn't say that it's like other turn-based, it's not XCOM. Even though the controls might be similar, it's something different. And I hate stealth games, but I'm looking at this as like a very rewarding puzzle game.
Okay. Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, totally.
$5.99, a lot of DLC here. Get all the DLC for $12 with the game. Not bad. Yep. Really good reviews. All right. Before we forget, thank you, Captain Gummy, subscribing for the 11th month in a row. Almost a year, man. Almost there. And then M. Pilaf gifting a sub to Curd the Ape. That's his 10th gift in this channel. How benevolent.
Milo's walking in.
Yeah, I just noticed that. Yeah, that's awesome, man. Thank you very much, guys. All right, let's talk about Space Hulk Deathwing. And also, thanks again to M. Pilaf. He bought this game for me, or he gave me a key, so thank you very much. He's really trying hard to get me hooked on Warhammer here. So Space Hulk Deathwing, you've talked about this before, Emilio. This is... you kind of compared it to Left 4 Dead, but Warhammer 40K. And I don't know, that might be giving it a little too much credit. It is... 1 to 4 players trying to work their way through a map. The objectives mostly consist of go here, do this, and that.
They are procedurally generated, though. So there is that. Some ways will be cut off and some new ways will be open every time you run it. So
yeah, well, it's the same map. The same map, but sometimes there's rubble in this passage, so you can't go that way. You have to turn around and go another way. And there is a single-player mode. This game really begs to be played multiplayer, though. Like, you really get the full experience there. The single-player, they kind of work you through a talent tree. So, and you have a team, and you give them commands to do certain things. But it really feels like a multiplayer game. And that's what I mostly spent my time doing in this, is doing the multiplayer. And it's a pretty good game, but it lacks a lot of the things that other games like this have. The classes are very generic. Like, I don't even think it really makes much of a difference what class you go. Obviously, they have the apothecary who can heal. They have a class that's kind of meant to be up front, but a lot of the classes, they share the same weapons. And really, at the end of the day, it's like Borderlands. You're all just killing bad guys. They don't really have any specified roles. Again, aside from the healer who occasionally has to heal you, but you can always heal anytime you reach a point. You can port back to base and then come back to the map, and that heals you too.
I would agree with you, but I played the melee character, and the first thing I was trying to do was just walk in the front with my shield up and have all the guys behind me. It really wasn't working. So then I decided to bring up the rear, and I felt like I was really contributing to the team by holding up the back line while they two guys would shoot forward and one guy would be my range guy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So we had our healer, we had two damage dealers, and we had me who was just kind of like holding things at bay. I think the difference between the classes are their special ability loadouts. You have three special abilities. It's like right click or whatever they are. You have three of them.
One, two, and three. Yeah, 1, 2, and 3. Because there aren't other weapons for you to switch to.
The downside is, who knows what these fucking things do? I couldn't find a tooltip anywhere. Yeah,
they don't tell you. They don't tell you. You have to figure them out.
It's fucking dog shit, man. I mean, I figured out that my three makes me invulnerable, which is really great for tanking. But yeah, I would say there's a little bit to it. I think this is a game that if you and your friends had a lot of time to devote to, I think there's a ton of depth there.
I disagree. See, I think I had a different experience than you. I missed the night where you guys all hopped on and played, and I probably would have had a better time. But what happened to me is I ended up queuing up in random games, and I ran into people who were like level 300, level 800, level 1000. And these guys were just like, don't play that guy. That guy sucks. and they're like... I played one where you can choose to have friendly fire on or off. And they were playing with friendly fire on just for the added challenge. You don't get any extra XP. And they're like, don't take the plasma rifle. That's going to kill all of us. Plus that weapon's way too OP, you know, give yourself a challenge. So there is a really hard and fast min-max like tier list when it comes to classes and weapons and that, and the melee guys are shit. And the plasma guns overpowered, the chaplain's super good. And so all these super high level people, you know, some of them are playing different stuff just for like the challenge or whatever, but most of them are all doing the exact same thing, using the fire gun or the plasma gun. But even if that.
I think there's depth there, but it just wasn't implemented right.
Like, yeah, I think, you know, I mean, think that's the problem.
There's a bunch of numbers and there's a bunch of different things you can do. I mean, dude, there's like six classes and each class has five loadouts. Like, there's a lot there, but then, like you said, there's a lot of overlap. And
yeah, they overlap the weapons. And
what's it matter if you have all that if it's not balanced correctly?
Yeah, the balance, but also at the end of the day, you're just killing the I'm not sure what they are. They look like little alien guys. And they kind of come in a steady stream. They always pop out. And you kill them and you move on. And every objective is go to this point, go to that point, go back to this point, click this, you know, go here, click that, come back. Or occasionally, like, hold out on this point here, although that may have been just the single player. So it really, you know, you really aren't working with it. I've talked about this before in these co-op games where, you know, you're either all just kind of doing the same thing, and sometimes there's a person who is really good and like does it all for you or races ahead. But this isn't the type of game where you're really relying on other people. Like, you're all just trying to kill the aliens. It's a shame. I feel like there could have been a lot more. Again, this game, like, the graphics are incredible. Didn't really pay attention too much to the soundtrack, though. I didn't really notice it.
I didn't either. We were too busy worrying about, like, I thought we had a really good time. I, you know, playing with friends at your same level is a huge difference than what you were doing, dude. Mm-hmm. Like,
well, I didn't play all my games like that. I hosted my own games for a while, and I got people who were around my level, you know, like 7 to 10. And we were playing on normal, and I think it felt a little easy. I think if I had upped the challenge a little bit, then it would have been a little bit better. But I don't know. At the same
time, I had a good time with this game. I don't know if I'd put it ahead of other games.
I think Vermintide's so much better than this. I think Vermintide is head and shoulders better than this one, unfortunately. Although I like the look of this better. I like the theme of this one better. I just think, like,
yeah, that's true.
I think, dude, Vermintide's a better design.
You go into that big bell room for the first time, and it's just the gothic fucking bloody mess of this place is fucking awesome, man. And then you didn't play with Nick, dude. Nick is a nonstop wealth of useless knowledge.
Your brain is your skull is 7.3 inches thick, and it can't be penetrated by most claws.
I am kind of getting the vernacular down of the game a little bit, like servo skulls and cognition or cogna. I guess I'm not. I can't remember what that other one was called, but I am kind of understanding. So Mechanicus is actually one of the races or people in this Warhammer 40K universe, right?
Sorry, I was reading chat. What'd you say?
Mechanicus.
I can't be bothered with this podcast.
Mechanicus is actually a race of people in the Warhammer 40K universe, right?
I believe those are the guys in this game when you go into that portal and they have those, like, they're like, they look like spider people. I believe those are the Mechanicus.
Oh, those are the tech priests, the guys that look like Dr. Octopus. But I think the tech priests, maybe they are part of them. I'm not sure. There's a lot I need to figure out about this, apparently. But yeah, I mean, I would still play this. Like, if people were playing this and like, hey, let's get a game going. Yeah, dude, I would totally hop in. But I think I'd have to raise the difficulty to hard. Normal is just a little too easy.
Okay, cool, guy. We wiped fucking three times, but okay, cool. No, actually, we passed the first level and then we played the second level and we wiped on the second level. Those bosses, dude, those fucking big ones, the ones that look like queens. From Alien, the queen size ones.
Oh yeah, the big ones.
Yeah, the big ones.
Yeah, I don't know. I just call them the big ones. They look like the other guys, but they're just a lot big, and they take a hell of a lot of shots to go down.
There's a couple, dude. When I was seeing like streams of aliens running down pipes, that I knew that were gonna pop up from just about anywhere. You know, I was scared. I was a little scared. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I played by myself. It's a whole different experience. It's a lot more scarier. And you know, if you play single player, you have your AI companions, but even when I was just hosting my own game and people hadn't joined yet, totally different experience. Like, you hear the noises, you see them blip on the radar. Yeah. It's a lot scarier. They sneak up on you, but, I don't know. I didn't see too much variety in the gameplay. I guess that's what I kind of had a problem problem with. And if you go down, if you die in this, you're dead for, well, I think the apothecary can like heal you every so often, or he's got that on a cooldown. It's one of his abilities. But
there's a guy who resists.
Yeah, I think that's the apothecary. But but other than that, you have to wait 240 seconds before you can respawn, and hopefully your team doesn't wipe. So there's no pickup mechanic really like in a lot of these other games.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's a breakout awesome game, but it did kind of fall under the radar. I think it deserves more attention than it got. So I had never played the Enhanced Edition. I only played the Standard Edition. Mm-hmm. When I put in the code that it gave me, it gave me the option. I wasn't able to run it for the longest time. We found out a workaround. If you have a ultra wide screen, you need to go into a multiplayer game, then hit escape, then go to the video settings, then put it on your resolution. Like that's the only way. So we found the workaround.
Oh, that's
because your mouse doesn't work on the title screen, so you can't get to the up. Yeah. Okay.
Just a widescreen issue, or an ultra widescreen.
Me and John have the exact same screen, so we both needed to do it.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. I'll still give this game a shot, though. Like, I'll continue to play. I mean, I do like the whole like leveling up. You earn points, and then you can spend that on your skill tree. But it comes very slowly, like getting the XP points. And I've put all my points into my heavy gunner, so now I kind of feel obligated to play that guy and not really experiment with other branches. But I don't know.
So Nick is going to come and correct us on all of this that we just said. I guess he's coming in hot is the note that I got.
Okay. Let me switch to three webcams here. All right. There we go. Nick, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you guys doing?
Doing good, man. So you've put a lot of time into this game, I'm assuming. Deathwing? Space Hulk Deathwing?
Yeah, I put a lot of time into it. Shout out to JD Construction before we start, though. I do got my shirt off. Constriction. Sorry, JD Constriction. But yeah, no, I put a lot of time into this game. Definitely have been getting into the hobby of of Warhammer and like the lore and stuff. Like, you got nothing better to do in COVID, so might as well read and watch YouTube videos. But what I wanted to know, Bobby, is that how do you feel about the aesthetic? Like, how do you like the just the random shit on the walls, like the prayers, the tech priest being in the background, and things like that?
Well, I love that part. Yeah, that's definitely the most enjoyable part about this game. And I the same thing about Mechanicus. Like, I love that. I noticed, unfortunately, that stuff you don't notice a lot when you're playing a game like this, because you're more concerned about all the bad guys you have to kill. But every now and then I'd be walking along and I would turn and I noticed like a, I don't know what the word is for this, but it's a wax seal with like a thin paper hanging down from it. I saw it a lot in Darkest Dungeon too. Does anyone know the name of that?
So those are prayer scrolls. And so in the Warhammer universe, right, you have this guy called the God Emperor of Man, and he's in charge of all the Space Marines. He's like,
now you got him started.
He's literally their God Emperor, and they believe that their guns and armor and all their stuff is gonna work better if they have prayers on them.
Mm-hmm. I noticed the and guns had like scripture on them. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. So like, it'll say like, this is the fist of the God Emperor and things like that. And so those little parchments of like ribbon and stuff all have like prayers on them that have been said by priests and stuff.
Hey, yeah, Nick, where should Bobby start his, like, if he's going to read a book?
Well, you know, I was saying last week, I don't know if a book is the best way to get into this, though, because the visual is like really what I enjoy about this. I wish somebody would make a movie out of this stuff. They probably butcher it, but
so there have been plenty of fan movies, and Games Workshop is working on a TV show. They're working on a TV show. It's going to be called Inquisitor, and it's about the Inquisitors, which are people that go to planets and decide to kill billions of people with a nuke. And their job is to detect chaos and evil shit on planets, and that's the show. And then people are really wanting Mads Mikkelsen to play the Inquisitor. But as far as like the universe goes, if you want a recommendation, there's a video by Bricky. He's a really good YouTuber. He makes a lot of different topic videos, but he does specialize in Warhammer, and he has two videos that cover all the races of Warhammer. They kind of give you, each race gets like a 5-minute spotlight. He tells you how they get started, what they're all about, and things like that.
I'd watch that, dude. Send that to Sniper and we'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, I'll totally send it to you. Bricky, God Emperor on knowledge, definitely.
I'm getting messages that I'm supposed to cut you off now, dude.
let me make one correction, though, the reason I fucking called in.
Okay.
So the Adeptus Mechanicus are these guys from Mars. The tech priests are part of the Adeptus Mechanicus. They worship machines, but they work for the Emperor of Man. There you go.
Okay.
So I was right?
You were right, Emilio.
Yeah. Every fucking blue moon, I get one. One for the whole team. Now I like you again, Nick. Look at that. It was that easy, dude.
All right, guys.
All right, buddy. I love you.
Love you guys, too.
Later.
Bye. That's my nephew, guys.
Yeah. We should also explain that's Nick, also M. Pilaf. That's what happens when you go by two names. Yeah. You never keep track of who's who.
And Minnie wants to come in and talk shit about my microphone, apparently. Let's bring him in.
All right.
Hey, dude.
Hey, man. Dude, your mic is trash, bro.
I told them. We talked about it right before the show. I'm like, do you guys want me to use my snowball because it's going to be better? And they're like, no, everything's fine. That's what I was told. That's what the people upstairs. What is going on in your room, dude? What the fuck?
This is my rape, bro.
Wow.
Wow.
All right.
Dude, you look like street Jesus now, dude.
That hair is going, getting long, man. Ooh, past the shoulder, down to the shoulders. Oh, boy. Isn't that hot? Like, how do you deal with that in the summer? I guess you could ponytail it that long.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. I put it like in a bun or a ponytail.
Wow.
Yeah, it is pretty long, man. But yeah, that's pretty much what I'm doing. I'm waiting for it to get a little bit longer. I'm thinking like a little bit, maybe like an inch shorter than Fabio. And then I'll start doing stuff with it.
Start getting creative with it.
Yeah.
Okay. What kind of, since we're talking mics here, what kind of mic do you have? I think we might have the same one.
I've actually mentioned, I use you as my go-to for great setup, dude. Like, you sound fantastic.
Yeah. Well, it's a pretty cheap build. Like, if you're looking to just get good audio quality, it's about $150 for the entire thing. It's an Audio Technica AT2020 microphone. With a Behringer, Zenix 302 mixer. So it's the the XLR? Is that what it's called, Bobby? Those inputs?
Yeah. So you have the same mic as I do, but mine's a USB mic and yours is an XLR. So you can run it through a mixer. And we actually use a Behringer mixer in the studio.
Yeah.
And it's a 4-channel one, but you're using the little one.
Yeah, mine's just a single channel.
Oh, okay.
And the other thing is, dude, like next week we're going back into the studio, so I wasn't too worried about it. But yeah, I should have been on the snowball today.
I mean, that's snowball, you're right. Kind of a piece of shit.
Well, it's better than this fucking thing.
The problem with the snowball, though, is if the dog barks or if something happens in the background, that is going to be a piercingly loud sound on our end.
Yeah, that is the benefit with Emilio using the mic that he currently is. It does like cancel that background noise. But Mike also thinks that Emilio is background noise, so it mutes him a lot of the time.
Nobody's ever said anything more rude to me, dude. That I'm background noise? Jesus. Street Jesus, to be exact. Oh, so, man. Minnie, are you coming back to the Bay or to San Diego?
Maybe, dude. Yeah, it's a possibility.
Yeah.
But
there's a reason that everything's half the price over there, dude, because nobody wants to be there.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't make any decisions in the summer either, because, like, right now, it must be fucking hell there.
It's humid, dude. It's crazy humid here.
Yeah. Do you have AC running right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Pretty much every place is the same right now with COVID, though. I can't really... I can't say San Diego is the best place to be right now, because it's not like you can go out and do things.
Yeah, the numbers for COVID here are relatively small compared to the rest of Texas, but that's like the only upside to being where I am.
Hmm. Oh, that's good. What games have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of Faster Than Light because I haven't had a lot of time to just like sit down and play. And FTL, like you could just pause it at any time. So that's what I've been doing. When I do have time, I've been going back to Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Have you beat it on normal?
I keep
on easy. Have you beat on easy?
I beat on
easy. Oh, you have?
maybe like 2% of my plays are wins.
Yeah.
That game is hard.
Such
dude.
A good.
That's where I'm stuck time. At, too. Oh. I don't know how many hours I have at that game, but I've never beat it on normal.
And it doesn't matter. It's just so rewarding just to play the game, I feel like.
It is really relaxing. The music is on point for just chilling out.
You wanted my account so that you could play Into the Breach. What'd you think?
The family share didn't work for some reason. Like, even when I shared my computer and my account with it, still sent an email saying that I need to request from you specifically to play that game. So maybe that game isn't part of the family share, because I don't think every game is. But I could
interesting.
Yeah, I'd interesting. Be surprised usually, if that game wasn't.
Yeah.
I would be surprised for
usually
that
it's,
game.
It's games with DRM or games that are on Ubisoft or something like that have that family share issue. But Into the Breach should be fun. Of course, maybe it's because you have 8 people on your family share, Amelia.
He did it could have, be. Like, 7, and I think I deleted one of it was like a what's the word I'm looking for, a copy of another account, so I deleted that.
It looked like you were trying to dance around some racism, but it just ended up being something else. how should I put this lightly?
I just
a copy worse. Account well, dude, if you fucking come back this way, I know position on a couch that you could use.
Thanks.
Sleep face down, ass up.
With your cats.
No, I'm saying you could be on the show, jackass.
Oh, on the show. Well, you guys got that couch now.
Two couches. Yeah.
Screen that now.
Two ugly, ugly, ugly couches.
Are those couches you picked up all throwing trash away?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Free couch. Oh man!
But can I talk a little bit about fighting games? Just 2 minutes.
Yeah, man.
All right. So look, I am now convinced that fighting games, they are the purest form of competition, and I mean that you are not being carried by anyone, and you're not dependent on any RNG. Shooting game will go that's 4 to 6 people on a team, and there's just so much going on, you cannot control the battlefield with that. There's always something out of your control with that,
and especially a game like Battlefield, where it's just a plane might be passing up, you can't dodge a plane's bomb.
It's just shit you have no counter for. And even if you're going for a StarCraft game, an RTS, that is a really cool form of competition. That's not a form of pure skill, I believe. It's a lot of knowledge and guesswork. I know how this character plays, and I'm going to try to build a counter, so hopefully he doesn't counter things like that. But fighting games,
I'd fight you on that. I'd fight you on that, but I see what you're saying. It's kind of saying golfers aren't athletes or whatever. But, I see what you're saying. I tend to agree with you, dude. People say this about the UFC all the time. You don't have no team to rely on.
Yeah.
You are the reason for your failure or your success. And that's it.
Yeah, and that's funny, because fighting sport and a fighting game, the same principles. It's just you versus the other person. Nothing else can change what happened. Mm-hmm. Either no
except for
you
internet connection. You need
That is correct.
It's got to be.
Like in tournament, like actual tournament.
Right.
Where there's lag list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm just convinced that is now my new passion other than gaming, is watching fighting tournaments. And you even saw the JM Crofts. I know you've been watching him a lot.
I've been watching his videos. I love his videos. Yeah, I don't even play Dragon Ball FighterZ, but I could totally appreciate him playing. And, you know, he's not the best player. He's a good player.
Yeah.
And he's level-headed. So, he doesn't get tilted or anything like that. He's just an enjoyable, calm person.
Yeah, that's what turned me on to him, exactly.
Yeah. And then recently, we went back and forth about this. He played somebody at Angel Rank. And and Mini says that's only, 10 people. I mean, we're talking about, the elite of the elite.
Yeah, 10 people in the world have this rank.
So he must have randomly got this. It just paired him up. He must be in is he in the one below it or the one below that one? Do you know?
Oh, he's far below. No, he's maybe 6 below.
So completely random, right?
Yeah.
The way that this guy manhandled him, Bobby, you have 3 life bars because you have 3 players. You played the game. Mm-hmm. He almost got a perfect, like, didn't get hit once. And he did it over and over and over to him. And this is a guy that knows how to play. He has a strong following on YouTube. Like, he knows how to play. He's been playing games all day. And this guy's just fucking trouncing him.
Jeez. Yeah, it was incredible. I've never seen, like, somebody who understands the game so well, knows all the mechanics, get their ass handed to them so quickly.
Yeah.
Wow. So how do you feel about Evo getting canceled then, since you're really into fighting games now?
Well, the thing is, like, Evo is more of a convention than it is like a fighting game tournament. It's like anybody can really enter into Evo. What happened this year is like they left it open to anybody. I think you only had to pay like $20 or something like that. But in all Evos, they have like hundreds of entries, and that's more of a convention for fighting game. Is like a lot of pros don't like Evo because it's just the convention now. And what's really popular is like Combo Breaker, and I think they hold that out of Chicago, and that's really like the fighting game pros tournament. That's where everybody likes to go around the world.
What have you been watching on YouTube? Like, where do I go to watch some competitive Dragon Ball Z?
If you want to understand more about fighting game, Core A Gaming is really good about just talking about the mechanics and the history of fighting game tournament and pros. Beyond that, like, Red Bull actually has really good videos. Red Bull tournament. I think Red Bull did a Dragon Ball tournament. I think they do it every year now. But yeah, they're really popular as well.
Dude, it'll always have a special place in my heart just because of Street Fighter 2 and all of that. I'm glad that there's something out there that I can watch and enjoy. It's not the hardest game to understand either.
Oh yeah, for sure. I really recommend like Dragon Ball FighterZ. If anybody's interested in a fighting game, get Dragon Ball FighterZ because it is really forgiving. It will teach you a lot. There is a lot of leeway on everything, but
it's the premier 2D fighting game, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, for sure. I think it is. Like, they have the people who make it, Arxis Gaming. They made a lot of fighting games. They make the Grand Blue Fantasy fighting Fantasy, whatever that is now, but that's a really good game that came out recently, and that has a big following already. And I think they did Guilty Gear as well.
Yeah, and those were always thought of as really good games. The mechanics, anyway.
Exactly. Yeah.
Those. All right, dude. Thanks for calling in. Good addition to the
show. Thanks, man. Check you later.
All right, Minnie. Later, dude. See you later.
Hey, Bobby. You want to talk about QuakeCon so I can go make a drink?
Sure, I can talk about QuakeCon. Go for it, man. You got 1 minute, 45 seconds.
You got it.
So QuakeCon, as you know, was canceled. They said they were doing just a strictly online event, and they actually have a date for it now. This is the 25th annual QuakeCon, by the way. I didn't realize we were already at 25. I felt like I went to the 20th anniversary in 2016. Not sure how that adds up, but okay. But yeah, I always felt that QuakeCon needed more of a virtual component anyway. So I'm kind of glad they're doing this or paying a little more attention to that. You're going to have like a 24-hour stream just constantly going for 3 days. They're going to be doing their tournaments online. This is what I thought was really cool though. If you're watching, I'll scroll down here. Check out the shirt for this year's QuakeCon. It's called QuakeCon at Home, and it's got the QuakeCon Q, but it's inside a little house icon. And then on the back, it's got another little house icon with a lot of different things in it. I thought that was creative. So if you've never been to QuakeCon, I guess this is your chance to go. Now, the big thing about QuakeCon, though, was the huge LAN party, like the football field size LAN party. Like, that's really what it was all about. The show floor was actually very small when I went to QuakeCon about 4 or 5 years ago. So they're going to try to have the LAN party, but remotely. I'm not sure what they're doing to make it feel more like a LAN party. Isn't that called the internet? Yeah, well, they're going to try to do things like with, they go into detail on the page here, but they're going to try to do things with the Twitch stream to make it feel more like a LAN party. And we'll see how it goes, but still, it's a great event. I'm glad they're paying more attention to the online portion of it. Let me see if I can get the date here. kicks off August 7th, ends August 9th. So coming up pretty quick here. And of course, they always do that sale on Steam, so you can get all your Bethesda games for really cheap. Girls at QuakeCon, yeah, not many, but there are some, and a lot of them were girlfriends, and their boyfriends kind of dragged them there, and they didn't really set up their own rig. They kind of just came over and played games like, what was that cooking game? I can't remember. I don't know. You know what I'm talking about. And Rocket League was very big that year. Overcooked. Yeah. Yeah, but no, I didn't see a lot of females. But the problem with QuakeCon was, like, it was always people from Texas because nobody – some people did, but it's very hard to, like, put your computer on a plane and fly out with that, your computer and your monitor and all your peripherals. That's really difficult to do. So it was mostly just people in Texas that could go. And
we were actually planning to drive out there one year, remember? Mm-hmm. Now that I had the trailer and everything.
Yeah, we thought that would have been a long drive. But, yeah – it's going to suck not having the LAN, but it's nice that they're still doing this. And that shirt, that's a cool shirt, man. I love my 2016 QuakeCon shirt.
Are you talking about my shirt? My DLG baseball tee?
Yeah. What do they call that? The jersey? Not the jersey.
Yeah, baseball shirt. I think it's called baseball shirt. I don't know. I love these, though.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I'm sweating, dude. I'm wearing, like...
You got half sleeves.
These are the capris of...
Yeah, you got half sleeves.
Yeah, dude.
You know what I was thinking about the other day? You never see this anymore. You never see people... When I was in high school, the cool thing to do was wear a long sleeve t-shirt and a short sleeve tee on top of it. And like your long sleeve tee would have something like on the sleeve. It was a real... I mean, I grew up in East County, so, you know, it was a lot of like dirt bike... Yeah, it's a real dirt bike rider. Like, you know, spend the week... Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like Fox shocks or whatever the hell they make, you know. Yeah, that kind of look there.
How
don't really see that anymore.
How did you dodge that, Bobby? How did you dodge getting into like off-road stuff? That's that shit out there, right? That's the shit.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's that and meth.
Yeah, that and meth. Maybe because I was always playing on the computer. Maybe that was it. I don't know. Yeah. And I never liked trucks, man. To this day, I never wanted to own a truck. I just never liked trucks. And that was, even if you didn't go to the desert, like that, it was the cool thing to have a truck. I think I was like a little too counterculture. I was like trying to be a, you know, an anti or like a nonconformist cool guy or something possibly. So maybe that's why that happened. Trucks with the lift in the front. They used to call that the California lift out here. I don't know if they call it, they probably call it something different elsewhere, but yeah, you know, four inch lift in the back, 6 or 8 inch lift in the front.
It's a weird look for sure, but they do that for jumping. Cadillac made fun of that shit for, he had like meme after meme after meme after about that.
Yeah.
He's very much against that.
I don't know, maybe it's only popular among certain people. All right.
What else are we talking about?
So, Hellbound. Hellbound is a game that is, it's been announced for a long time. This is a classic first-person shooter game. Looks a lot like Doom, but with a lot better graphics. It's got that twitchy first-person shooter feel to it that was really popular in the late 90s. This game is... been out there for a while, but it actually has a release date now, August 4th. There's another version of this game, I think they call it Hellbound Survival, and it's basically a single-player wave survival. I've actually played it. I never talked about it because there wasn't too much to talk about. But that's been out, and it still is. You can play that. But the actual single-player campaign game. Yeah, the actual game is coming out really soon here. And it looks good. I mean, I know I play a lot of these and they all kind of seem the same, like these throwback 90s Twitch first-person shooter games. But this one seems a lot more polished than the other. I mean, it's graphically, it's a lot better, but just the game feel of it is, it feels a little more modern. So I don't know. I like this one. It doesn't have a price point yet. But I imagine
Bobby, I just want to clarify. You said it had much better graphics than Doom. We're not talking about Doom 2016. We're talking about like the original Doom.
Yeah, Doom 1, Doom 2.
Yeah, you know what? It looks like? It looks like an updated Quake 3 or something like that, like with smoother textures and stuff like that. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, but it looks like it's set in hell. I don't know. Oh, there's lava pits and you know a lot of demonic stuff. So it does look a little more like Doom. But yeah, it's probably Unreal Engine, I'm guessing. But yeah, this one looks good. This is actually, I've had my eye on this for a while. And I kind of just forgot about it. Nope, no price as of yet. I forgot about this because seriously, like 2 years ago is when I played Hellbound Survival. And that's kind of when this game like got on my radar. And it's just been years of waiting. And then finally they announced that, coming out now. So yeah, so that's cool.
A couple more things. So if you're not on our Discord yet, you're fucking up. You should definitely join the Discord. I'm trying to keep as much effort out of this as possible. So basically, you guys do all the sourcing for me, and it's fantastic. If you go to On the Radar in our Discord, that shit will come to On the Radar on the show. If you go to news, you put a news story on there, there's a good chance that it's going to make it on the show. This is a living, breathing thing. You can actually be part of the show. I don't give shout outs to people who do it because that'd be too many people, because a lot of people put stuff on here. Although Waconius does do 8 times more than everybody else. But thank you for everybody that contributes. We're in this show together. Anyway, somebody put in Other Side. I would have never found this game on my own. It is a turn-based tactics game, a turn-based tactics game with a lot. It's dripping with style, I would say. The closest thing I could say it kind of looks like is like Nier Automata mixed with like maybe Devil May Cry. The whole game is black and white except for red, different shades of red, which, you know, we've seen a lot of games do this where mm-hmm. it really makes the red pop, and, you know, blood gushes and stuff like that. So you play some sort of perfect warrior, and they just keep cloning her. So you have an infinite army, but they do have different attributes. So one might be more athletic than the other. One might be more cowardice than the other. It almost like they have pluses and quirks to them, even though it's the same person. They're just like different clones. As you play through the game, and depending on the way you fight, you're going to be unlocking different abilities for that one. They're called daughters because they're all daughters of that warrior. As you play, you only, if the game does what it says it does, every daughter you ever have is going to be its own unique class, because no two daughters will ever do the same attacks. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to build a class around how you play that one daughter. The other big thing that this game does is the timeline. You see that at the very bottom, Bobby?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the turn list.
The turn order, yeah. And other games do this too, like Divinity even does this, but it has it at the top. But this one actually looks like a timeline, like a line drawn and then the people's icon sitting above them, which is I like that look.
Yeah, and the reason that they're doing this is because it's probably the way the game said, what it said about it is that it's as important, the timeline is as important as attacking, like controlling the timeline. So a lot of the abilities are about pushing enemies later in the timeline, moving your characters forward in the timeline, and comboing. So you might have two characters on something like an Overwatch. Then you might have another character push, kind of like into the breach, push the enemy into the other two people's Overwatch. And maybe even a three-way attack where you know, you push it right, it gets attacked, get pushed left into an overwatch of a third that's waiting there. And so you set up these grand combos that end up looking really cool. But, you know, this is a strategy game, but when the action plays out, it looks pretty cool. This is very impressive, and it came out of nowhere. And I really like the trailer. I like everything about it.
Yeah, this looks really good. Other Side comes out July 28th. Other Side spelt with a C.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool because I guess you're fighting enemies coming from another dimension, and you're fighting them in this, like, the Upside Down, if you will, from Stranger Things, kind of like this midway point.
Mm-hmm. The Shadow Realm.
The Shadow Realm, yeah. So, pretty excited about this. Good pick, I think, Workone is.
Yeah, this game is going to be $35, but it is on sale right now, $29.74.
For the pre-purchase, yeah. It's coming out in 9 days. The next one was Monstrum 2. So this is an asymmetrical versus game, a 1v4. We've seen this a lot. Friday the 13th, Dead by Daylight. But this one's more the aesthetic reminded me of Alien 3 the most, where they're in that jail and, you know, they're trying to get away from, they don't have any weapons. Mm-hmm. It seems a lot like that, like, let me distract this thing while you run away, or vice versa. And the only thing that, like, drew my attention and made it worthwhile to talk about is that I like that the levels were procedurally generated, because I feel like when you're running from a monster, if you know the layout of the map, because it's the same map every time, it takes a little bit away from it. But if you are running around and you run into a dead end where you got away last time, I think that adds a ton of replay value and a lot of fun. So I like that one. I think there's potential here. I'm not saying it looks fantastic. We'll see where it goes.
Is there a Monstrum 1?
2020. What?
Was there a Monstrum 1?
I didn't look. I would imagine there was. That's how numbers work, but who knows?
You'd think, but I've been surprised. This is coming out quarter four of 2020, so not too far away. No price point as of yet. These are always, I feel like that is the hardest game to make, is an asymmetric multiplayer shooter or survival game, either one.
Evolve.
Yeah, I think Evolve may have tainted that. And the thing is, like, I don't know what you could have done to Evolve to make it any better. Like, I think they did it, and people were just like, this type of game isn't that fun. I mean, Dead for Daylight and the Friday the 13th game had a little bit more life, but it was a lot cheaper, and it was a lot more
casual.
It was casual, yeah. They played it a little more casually.
It's a game night game.
Yeah, it's something to have fun with for a little bit, but not to take too seriously. It's not something you're going to be playing hour after hour, I think.
No, that's dead, maybe... dude. I feel like we both kind of owe some time on one of those. I haven't put any time in either one, have you?
No, well, that's the problem. You need a lot of things for that to work. You know, you need, like, somebody who's okay playing the monster, and that's a lot of responsibility. That's got to be something who's pretty good at the game, but you don't want them too good at the game, otherwise the game's not fun. There's just a lot of ways for that type of game to be imbalanced.
Yeah,
I don't know what the solution is.
So many things have to go right for it to work, but if you get that perfect game, you know, it could make a fan out of you forever. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of these games are slow build. You know, you do, like PUBG. You can play fucking an hour, it feels like, and nothing will happen for that 15 seconds of. It's kind of like that. You play 15 games to try to get that one rush of a perfect game.
Yeah. And a lot of times you never get that perfect game. I never had a good game of Evolve, like one that I felt was a real back and forth, you know?
It sucks, man. So much money went into that game. It looked fan-fucking-tastic. I would put that game's graphics up against current games right now, and it would still win.
Mm-hmm.
But
Yeah, it looked great. All right, as we move into news, let's thank the Drillbit here for subscribing for 8 months. Thank you.
Yeah. DLG Con 2020. I believe we're sold out. Tentatively, depending on what Canada does in the next few months, there might be a room available. For now, you missed out. You moved fast enough, you motherfuckers. So, I think we're going to do some sort of virtual thing. We'll probably definitely do a a cast from there, like we did last time. There won't be as many people, so it probably won't be as chaotic. But yeah, we're in a really good spot with that, so that's good. Bobby, should we announce what we're doing with the VR, or is that official? What's going on with that?
Yeah, let's talk about that. So we discussed it, and we both decided, like, hey, let's just get the Oculus Quest.
Yeah, and we know that it's not the premiere. It's not going to be. It's literally half the machine on a lot of the specs.
Yeah, I think when it comes down to, like, the numbers, it's got the resolution's very, very far lower, and it's got a shorter viewing angle, and it's got half the refresh rate. Like, yeah, you're losing. But, you know, high fidelity was not super important to me. And the last VR kit that I spent a lot of time with was like the DK1. You know, I mean, I played a little bit of the Vive here and there, but the last one that I really, really played was the very first Oculus Rift that ever came out back in, like, what, 2013 or something, 2014?
Yeah.
So, you know, anything's going to be an upgrade. Plus, I really like the idea of not having light boxes or lighthouses or whatever they call those things that you got to set up around your house. Like, and the finger thing, that's cool. That's not super important to me, though. Like, and it doesn't have headphones, which kind of sucks. But I think it'll work really well for us.
A lot of the what went into this is that we're going to be passing it back and forth. So the easier it is to break down, and apparently you just put it in a box and you hand it over, you know, as opposed to the other one where you got to make the tower smaller. You need to fold them up. There's probably three or four wires. You know, I remember the Vive. It was not nothing. It was definitely something, that the breakdown and tear down of putting that thing together and putting it back up.
Yeah, and so, you can get the Oculus Quest for the 64 gig version. You can get that for $400. You can get two of those cheaper than you can get one Index. I didn't even think about that, man. Maybe we should have each bought one.
That's true.
And still save $200.
What's really important to me is, like, I've talked about it before, but the party trick aspect, you really nailed it with that. Like, there's always people here. Even fucking with COVID, fucking last night we had like six people here, but we all had COVID, so it didn't matter. But like, just to be able to bust that out with Mexican old ladies is one of the joys of my life, dude. It's fucking fantastic. And for them not to have to come in here. Plus, I have Jocko knocking down those towers. His hair, he is a nonstop factory of hair, dude. You've been in here. You've seen the hair. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
He sheds nonstop. It would be stuck on the speaker. It would be bad. It would be a nightmare. So every other week we could just, or every week I could just give you a small box and you just take it home with you. So that's a big selling point. It wasn't really about the price and also availability. Like, we can just order one today.
Yeah, that's true. The 64 gigs are in stock. The 128 gigs are not in stock. But from what I hear, 64 gigs should be plenty, because that you only use up that space if you're buying from the Oculus store. And we plan on mostly using this with Steam games that we've already purchased. So we'll just have to buy that cable.
Yep. So there it is. Yep, thank you so much, guys. That's, you guys bought that. And we get to have fun and talk about VR game. So a lot more VR coverage coming soon. Yeah, I think that's it for now.
Cool. All right, let's talk a little news here. First up, hold on. Let me make sure I got the right window here. There we go.
I was just thinking, they're talking about the Oculus Petri dish, and yeah, it's like, I'm going to be handing it over to you, COVID covered. It's going to be the COVID Quest, dude.
Yeah, the COVID Quest. Because it sits right on your eyes, man. That's another way you can get sick, is just is through the eyes. Okay, first article up is Metacritic implements a waiting period on user reviews for games. Now, they said this is not because of The Last of Us, but it kind of is because of The Last of Us,
of course,
too, I feel like. They needed to do this regardless. This was getting abused left and right. So before a game would even come out, or like minutes after it came out, it would just get review bombed. Just like you'd have thousands and thousands of reviews. So now they're implementing a 36-hour wait period, a day and a half, which I don't know if that's even long enough, man. I'd be okay with longer, but I don't know. I guess it's better than nothing. So you have to wait a day
really
and a
quickly
half.
If you're somebody who would go and review bomb a game because of the direction that the game was going, like because they use LGBTQ people, or because the main protagonist is female, or that she's a masculine female, or that she's uncharacteristically athletic, or whatever it is that your gripe is, and you would go to Metacritic and do this, go ahead and unsubscribe. We don't need you. Like, I don't. It's such a limp dick fucking response. It's like, what are you doing with your life, man?
Yeah, it's pretty unnecessary there. So yeah. Do you think this solves the problem?
No, because the problem is incels. That's the problem.
So it's just 36 hours and then it's going to get review bombed. I don't know, man. Like, this is the whole problem I have with Steam reviews, is there are some really good ones in there because there's people speaking very plainly about the game and very to the point about the things they like and they don't like. And if you read a couple of those, you can get a really good feel for the game. But at the same time, there is a lot of useless. I feel like there should be a voting system or something. I know you can like rate this funny or helpful or whatever, and you can even award them points now. And those do tend to show up more towards the top, which I guess is good. But I don't know. I feel like I don't know how you do that without curating or moderating, though, like somebody actually going through all that crap. So I'm not sure.
Hey, this is not a one-sided thing. I feel like there's the opposite happens on the other side. I feel like a lot of critics will give extra kudos for people trying harder. So trying harder to be more inclusive. You shouldn't get more points. You should just, everything should just stand on its own merits, I feel like. I don't know how to fix it. It's just everybody's so divided on everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine if people have legitimate complaints about a game, but the problem that we have here is people sometimes responding to things that are even happening outside of a game. Like maybe something happened with the developer or the publisher and people are upset about that and boom, review bomb, you know?
Yeah.
And
there's been a couple times where I was like, yeah, get those fuckers. You know, when they were like, I believe on Steam, there was like one or maybe two times where I was like, yeah, they totally deserve. I mean, it's a way for people to speak out. I guess it's the quickest way. Mm-hmm. So certain circumstances, it kind of works, but not like this, not for this. I was watching JPD, they fucking stream this game. It seems, I wish so much that I could play that game. It seems so intense and so, so good. The whole thing looks fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not too into it. I'm not really. I don't feel like I'm missing out.
Because it's zombies?
I guess. I don't know.
They're mushroom zombies, dude. It's a completely different thing.
I know. They're mushroom zombies, and you have to make really tough choices. I think it was those. There was like some tweet or something that everyone was making fun of about like somebody calling like this thing like the Citizen Kane of games or something like that. And then God, I wish I knew the exact tweet. It's out there, but One of like the people working on the game, or like it was like a reviewer, somebody, not just some random dude, but somebody actually in the industry, made some like highfalutin comment like that, and it was pretty ridiculous. Maybe that rubbed me the wrong way, but I don't know, man. I don't really like, I'm not super into like really depressing games right now, and even horror games, I'm not really into like.
Whoa, horror movies. That's a big step for you, dude.
Yeah,
I don't know. You did a whole suite on horror games one year.
Yeah, I was really into them for a while, but they're just, when it comes to gaming, I don't really like them anymore, because most of them boil down to just jump scares and running, hiding, and it gets annoying and I get impatient. It's, I don't know. I tried going back to, what was that one, Outlast 2? Yeah, I really liked the first one and even the DLC, but for some reason going back to Outlast 2, it was just, well, I talked about it on the podcast already. No reason in rehashing it.
All right. Kurt the Ape says, just watch a stream or podcast. Who reads reviews now? You're right, dude. Like, finding somebody that you like and that are, you know, you share sensibilities with, gaming sensibilities or movie sensibilities with, that's a great way to do it. You know, especially if you find somebody that's rock solid, 100% lines up with your stuff. The problem is you're affecting that game's bottom line. And that's bad. That takes away incentive for people to take games to that level, you know, to spend that much time and money on something like that. The voice actress for whatever her name is, Ellie, I think. She is one of the characters on Critical Role, and so like I know this girl. I've listened to her for hours and hours and hours and hours, and she's getting death threats for fucking, you know, Twitter death threats, but she's getting death threats on Twitter for voicing this character because whatever reasons. And she's just like, I'm pretty bummed. I try to stay positive, but here's some screenshots, and it's just like, what are you doing with your life, man?
I always wonder if, and I'm sure they are, which is sad, but I always wonder if a lot of those are real people, are just, you know, Russian trolls or something, you know? I don't know.
They're real people, dude. There's some sad people out there.
Yeah, that's true. I guess that's the sad reality of it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I still think there is a reason to have written reviews, and I don't really value a lot of like the big reviews, you know, like maybe from PC Gamer or like Kotaku or Rock Paper Shotgun, like, you know, the official reviews. But I really like just having a lot of little reviews from people who actually played the games. And I, you know, I think a reason a lot of people listen to us.
A consensus of peers.
A consensus, yeah, of just normal people. I mean, not unprofessional people. Like that's why I think a lot of people like us, because we just kind of speak very plainly about games. You know, it sucked. It was great. You know, like not trying to like put on airs or anything about it. But you really get that if you just read a lot of these little reviews. But you know, a lot of times there's just a lot of bullshit mixed in there as well, unfortunately. But you can get a pretty good idea of a game. Like people will just hit you with like the good, the bad, and the ugly on a lot of those. So
yeah.
I don't know. I think there's a value to that. Although Metacritic, I honestly don't check that very much. And it's not for any specific reason other than I'm so used to just looking at the reviews on Steam. But anytime I look at a Steam page, like I always just scroll down. It's like the YouTube comment section. So I always just scroll down and read like a couple there.
Yeah. And some people have become masters at reviewing games on Steam. Like it's small, it's concise, and they kill it. There's just, I believe you can, like, don't you get some sort of Steam clout for if you get a lot of people find your review helpful?
Yeah, you
up can in the give, algorithm.
Yeah, you'll appear more at the top, but it also depends, like, how many people upvoted that specific review, and people can award you stuff too. But, you know, I'm looking at Dragon Ball FighterZ here, and the first review is, the game is good. I like Android 21. Her boobs are large. Like, okay, yeah, that's funny, dude, but come on.
And why is that at the top? It shouldn't be.
I don't know. And that's voted as most helpful. Like, and it's just everybody memeing, dude. That's the problem that I have with a lot of this stuff.
Excuse me while I look up Android 20.
Yeah, second review is
Bielhoff has the best review of our podcast ever. I like you guys because I have to.
All right, man, put that on iTunes.
Yeah, dude, if you haven't left us an iTunes review, go do that right now, Nick. Thank you.
But at the same time,
you download the fucking launcher.
You don't want super long reviews either. Like someone who has a Steam review where it's like goes super into detail and all these paragraphs. Like I'm probably not going to read that either. It's a fine line.
I like the ones that do the pros cons with like four or five things.
Yeah,
on each one.
Yeah, those can be good. Yeah. All right. Next article: Project X Cloud.
I read an article, Bobby. So xCloud's coming out, which is Microsoft's Stadia, but it's way fucking better. Do you remember when I was like, Stadia is going to be the best shit ever and it's going to change the world? It's because I thought that it was going to be Netflix for games. And lo and behold, a few months later, we have the Netflix for games. So what xCloud is a platform kind of like Stadia where you can stream things onto your phone or tablet if you have them in your library or whatever. But it's also coupled with Xbox Game Pass, which means that you get everything on Xbox Game Pass, which is a substantial, fantastic library that we talk about almost every episode. No, we do talk about it every episode for at least 6 months. It is the best deal in gaming right now. So you pay for that. You get all those games, right? But you don't have to stream them. You can also download them to your, just like we're doing now, Xbox Game Pass, you download a game, you play it. But now it's going to add that streaming component to it. So that you'll be able to play on a tablet, you'll be able to play on a TV, whatever the fuck. This is literally, it's so weird for me to think of Microsoft as the scrappy upcomer, because it's Microsoft, right? But they've been making so many, in my eyes, PC space, so many bad decisions for so many years that's why I feel like I feel like they're the underdog, but I'm right behind them because of all the right decisions they're making. Just like Xbox Game Pass is a fucking masterpiece. They're doing well. The UI is dog shit, but what they're providing for the money is there's nothing like it. And now you're adding another thing, and I haven't talked about this yet. So if you buy the unlimited version, so which is the $15 a month one, you don't get any extra games. You get all the same games. The unlimited one is the one that gives you the PC and the Xbox version. The PC version is only $5, and that's why it's good. But for now, for the beta or whatever you want to call this, for Project xCloud, you have to get the unlimited version, which means $15 a month, even though you don't own a Xbox. But this is just for the trial run, and so they're just filling it out. I would imagine they would add this to the PC only version for another $5 would be my guess. So what do you think about them apples, Bobby?
Yeah, it looks good. So they're showing that you can actually sign up for the xCloud preview is what they're calling it on this website. We'll link it in the description. I have always had trouble playing stuff on my phone with latency between my controller and the phone. So I wonder how that's going to work. It's just the Bluetooth connection or whatever it seems to be using. It's always a little laggy. But yeah, I like the idea that you can stream games and play them anywhere here. And all someone needs to do is just do this right. I mean, it feels like the technology is there and there's no reason it can't be done, but it's just like this always gets muddled up by legal reasons. And it seems like Microsoft has enough of a library to really, really do this right.
I think you have to manage your expectations too. Like, if you think that you're going to be playing Gears 5 on your phone with three other players, and it's going to be a seamless experience. It's probably not going to work out, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you're playing like Gears Tactics, where speed doesn't really matter, you can take all the time you want. But on your phone, dude, if I was playing Gears Tactics on my phone, I'd be a happy man.
That's the thing, though. Like, I never play games on my phone. I never play games. I don't play games unless I'm at my computer, and I don't really want to change that. So a lot of this, like, you know, play anywhere stuff doesn't really appeal to me.
Aren't there a couple games that you could think of that it would be nice from your couch right behind you on that nice TV that you could think of that would be more fun?
No, not really. Because playing on such a small screen.
Yes and, Bobby. We're going with yes and.
I'll tell you what would be. I tried that NVIDIA one. GeForce Now.
Shield? Now?
Now, I think it was. And I told you how, like, I played Divinity Original Sin 2, and it didn't save my progress when I went back to play it on my computer for some reason. So I don't know. I'm still a little wary of this type of stuff. But I feel like eventually we have to head there. I did try out Stadia. They had that free trial for Stadia for like a month. I tried that out. I played Destiny 2 on that. And it's really the graphics that suffer, I think. When you stream games, it really is the graphics that suffer. That doesn't really matter if you're playing on like a 7-inch or a 5-inch screen. So not a big deal. But there was a little bit, just the slightest bit of lag too. Very little, and I probably wouldn't have noticed it if I had not been so used to playing on PC, because I know a lot of people have input lag when they play like consoles on TVs. Like, if you don't put your TV in game mode, you're getting lag anyway. So, you know, a lot of people are just used to playing like that. But I don't know, man. Like, it's all good. It's all progress. We'll see how it is. I'll sign up for this. I don't know if I can. I don't have Game Pass, but maybe I can still get into it. I'll sign up for it and see if I can.
Maybe you should pay. Can I send you $5 so you can get Game Pass, Bobby? Is that a thing?
Nothing that I want to play on it right now. Whenever it is necessary that I need Game Pass, like that I really want to play something, then I'll get it and I'll play it. But I don't know. As of now, not really a big deal. All right, next order.
Dynamite is saying, so the Steam Link remote, but with Game Pass. Yeah, I guess so, right?
The Steam Link, the Steam remote. Link now does work. You don't have to play it on a local area network. You can play games remotely with the Steam Link. I think that's what you're supposed to do. You know, and I feel like I tested that out too, and I was like, oh, this is great. Never touched it again. Like, I really don't have a use for that. I don't know. Too set in my ways, I guess.
Yep.
All right.
Get all your streaming service off my lawn.
Next article. This FMV game trailer was so poorly received, the publisher took the whole announcement back. This is referring to a game called Gamer Girl. This was an FMV game that a trailer was released for, where you play as a moderator for a girl who streams. You have to do everything that a moderator does, handle abusive chat. But the kind of twist or the not supernatural, but horror element to it is a friend of hers had recently disappeared. She just started streaming again, and there's someone weird hanging out in the chat who is stalking her. So I don't know. People really did not take to this. If you watch, you can watch the YouTube video of it. It does seem a little cringy, and in a way, I mean, I like FMV games, man. Like, I like them, and I like them cheesy, and I like them a little schlocky. And that's kind of what this looked like. And I was like, okay, I'm kind of down for this. But apparently, the developer was really going for more of a serious vibe. And this is kind of a touchy time right now with everything that's going on with Twitch and women and this, you know, all these allegations that are happening. So, you know, it's an odd time to be releasing a game like this. And I guess some people were worried that it's, you know, trying to profit.
Meaning maybe, or something.
Yeah, that it's not respectful and it's trying to profit off of, like, all the stuff that's going on, and I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. I watched this and I'm just like, all right. I'm not very quick to judge games because I find any promotional material, videos, screenshots, whatever, to be very misleading until you actually sit down and play the game. Like, you never really know what to expect.
So my whole take on it was that it was a knee-jerk reaction. Obviously, this actress, she also wrote it, put a lot of work into this. If you're thinking that it's derogatory or whatever, are we all going to collectively act that the way that she's acting in this video, there's not 700 girls on Twitch right now acting exactly like what she was trying to portray? And this is a piece of art. It should, like I said earlier, it should stand on its own. If you don't play it, don't play it if you don't like it or you think it looks bad. I think the concept is actually pretty cool. Like, she's going to get murdered or whatever, or somebody's trying to murder her, and it's up to you to, like, help her out. It's not saying that the white knight is coming in and saving her. Who's to say that the moderator is a male or a female? It's not about the guy coming in and saving the woman. It's about somebody trying to, through FMV videos, trying to affect the story. And that's all it is. Yeah, she's portraying maybe a little bit of a thought. I don't know. But do thoughts exist? Yeah, they do. A lot of them. A whole lot of them. And so you're just picking something out of... You're making some art out of something that actually exists. It doesn't mean that you're perpetuating negative things that go along with that, I guess. You know what I'm trying to say? Does any of that make sense?
Yeah. Robbie? I mean, this game's probably been in the works for years, right? I don't think
there's anything... Yeah, exactly. It has nothing to do. Yeah.
I don't think there's anything malicious about it. But if it's trying to be like something serious, then I don't think it really worked. And if it's trying to be something like kind of like a joke, then I don't know. Maybe there's an argument for that not being super appropriate right now too.
So yeah, absolutely. I don't know.
It's a tough time.
If it wasn't serious. Yeah.
It's a tough time to look outside game.
Yeah, it's bad luck.
It's supposed to come out later this year, and it's probably still going to be coming out. But they're probably going to rethink their promotional strategy, I'd imagine.
So I'm reading the chat. So people think that it looks like a joke. Dave says that it's a cringe fest. Is it a troll? Somebody's asking. And I don't think it's any of those, man. I really do think that somebody tried to make something like her story with a modern day phenomenon, which is females that stream on Twitch. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Yeah,
that's all it seems like to me.
It kind of seemed like
and it was written by the girl.
Oh, the girl, like, was the one who...
Yeah, she was the co-writer. Yeah.
Okay. Huh. I mean, yeah. I said that like I like FMV games, and I looked at it, I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. And then when the super, like the horror element came in, I was like, okay, cool. I'd play this game.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't know.
You should play it. I think this needs all the help it can get. This, I'm not saying it's good. Mm-hmm. It could be trash. But I think it had a lot of bad luck.
You probably haven't, but there are these horror movies back in the day, like 10, 15 years ago, called VHS. I think there are two of them.
I remember.
You remember those ones?
Watch them. But
you didn't see them? Okay, well, it's an anthology. There's like maybe four or five short movies in each one. They're all found footage, and they're all done by different directors, and some are better than others. But in a weird way, like when I saw the horror thing at the very end of this kind of come into play, and it's probably not anything supernatural, man. It's probably just something like, I don't know, just some random stalker dude, you know? But yeah, I kind of want it to be supernatural, man. I want like a Blair Witch or like a VHS FMV game. But I don't know if that's what this is.
Make it, Bobby.
Yeah, maybe. With all that free time I got.
Yeah.
All right. Next article coming up. I guess we should talk about this because it's been in the recommended tab every single article I click on PC Gamer.
You can't get away from it, dude.
Can't get away from it, apparently, even though I've been trying to. Henry Cavill built a PC and posted it on Instagram with some very sexy music playing. And yeah,
and that's giant that. Biceps and triceps. Don't forget that.
Yeah. It's funny how this happens, man. Like all these celebrities are building PCs, like Terry Crews.
Yeah. So the standout ones from, well, okay, so I don't know how much he's pandering to his base now, because now that he's The Witcher, I feel like a lot of his base is, you know, he was
a fan of The Witcher. He wanted to be The Witcher. Like, so he, it wasn't like they picked him for that. Like, he sought that out. So I think the guy did have a history with gaming, possibly PC gaming.
And yeah, because he was doing the junket, the press junket, and somebody was like, Xbox or PlayStation, and he said PC. And the guy was just kind of like, and this was years, this is probably a year ago or 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so it stopped the guy dead in his tracks. He was just like, I don't know how to respond to that. Like, what's that even mean? So even at that point, I was like, oh, maybe we have one of the good ones on our side or whatever. And now, you know, this is cool. I mean, who do we have before this, dude? Simon Pegg. He was the other one that I know that he plays. And Terry Crews, like you said. Yeah,
Terry Crews. You know, and a lot of people have said, like, they played a ton of Doom back in the 90s. Like, everybody talks about that. But, like, modern day PC gamers? Yeah, I don't know. What's her name? She's on Family Guy. She's in a bunch of comedies. She was on that 70s show. She said she played a lot of WoW, and I believe that.
Yeah.
Mila
Kunis.
Yep, Mila Kunis, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think this is genuine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's got the triple radiator there.
He's not fucking around, dude.
What case is that?
I'm not gay, but God damn, is this guy good looking. Jesus fucking Christ. If I were gay, he'd be my boyfriend.
What case is that? That case looks so familiar. It's a fractal case. It's a fractal case.
Yeah, it's a fractal case.
Wow, yeah.
This must have been great for them, dude.
Oh, yeah. This looks just like the case that we used.
I think it might be the same case,
it's like,
dude,
the same one. It's got the triple radiator. I don't know if that's a fractal one there. He's got a... Oh, dude, I'll probably tweet about this later with, like, screenshots, but... So I got sucked into another season of Married at First Sight because my girlfriend watches all that shit. And after the last season, I was like, I am done with this show. This is like reality TV.
What is it again?
It's called Married at First Sight. So they go to a town and like hundreds of people sign up for this, and they interview them, question them, have them fill out surveys, and then they match a couple when they haven't seen each other and they get married. They're like two complete strangers get married, and then
kind of like Love is Blind on a
kind of, but they don't talk to them first. Like, they meet as they're getting married, and then they try to work it out. And of course, it documents them. Yeah, it's called Married at First Sight. It's on like TLC or whatever.
And oh Jesus!
I watched the first season of this way back, you know, like 7, 8.
How about
years
we
ago.
Don't watch things on TLC, Bobby? How about let's start with that?
I've talked about how the problem I have with their editing style, but I watched the last because there's. You know, my girlfriend always watches it, so it just happens to be on. So I watched the last season, and it was like full-on reality TV show. Like, they totally jumped the shark, and I'm like, this is stupid. I'm not watching any more of this. And then she's watching the first episode of season 11, and there's this dude who has a gaming computer. And I've kind of seen this before, but it shows him working on it. He's putting an NVIDIA card in there, and he's like sitting at it, like, and he's got his like little light-up mouse. I'm like, oh shit, okay, we got a gamer here. And he's like, he's got a pet cat, dude. He's like really into cats, and he like works out all the time. I'm like, dude, all right, I'm kind of into this. Like, I'm feeling this. I'm identifying with this guy right here. And then the first episode, when they have the bachelor party, he gets super drunk and just hits on this guy's friend. I'm like, all right, this guy's going to be a train wreck. So I'm hooked on this stupid show yet again, and it's all because of this idiot PC
one gamer guy.
Yeah, one gamer dude. Yeah. So yeah, you can watch the Henry Cavill video on Instagram. It's up there.
Really quick, if I could plug a Netflix show. I watched Alone, which is a Canadian show about people surviving in the wilderness. They put like 10 people in 10 different spots on their own. They have their own cameras and they just survive. And then the last one to survive gets like $600,000. But you never know when somebody drops out. Like you just, it's just you and your own head and the cameras, your own cameras, not seeing anybody, and you just survive in the wilderness, dude. Mm-hmm. And it is fucking crazy. Now in Canada, it's called something else. One of the season was called Surviving Winnipeg. I believe that every time they change locales, it's a different name. So it's kind of hard to like, I want to go download the torrents, but I haven't been able to find it. But holy shit, dude, I knocked out. That's why I didn't review three games this week, is because in 2 days I watched the entire season, like 12 episodes of 50 minutes each or whatever it was. So I was hooked. I was really, really hooked. I mean, people going crazy, people starving, people, their will versus nature versus how much they wanted the money, just really raw human suffering, I guess, or willpower versus, and without, there's none of that shitty editing. It's literally just them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? A couple guys light their, you know, it only, you're not thinking correctly because you're not eating. There was a guy who fucking burned his house down, dude. He burned his whole shit went up in flame. That actually happened twice.
He burned his house on purpose.
No.
On accident.
Yeah, he's just cooking or whatever, and like a spark goes on the wrong spot, and it lights up the whole thing, and you're out of the game. That's it. Like, doesn't matter how well you were doing, one a little bit of bad luck or whatever. Anyway, fantastic fucking show.
Yeah, it's pretty bad luck to burn your house down. Wait, it wasn't his house? It was like the one for the show, or?
No. There's no show, dude. They literally drop you off on a piece of ground and you have 10 items that you get to choose from and you just survive.
Then how did this guy burn his house down?
His shelter.
Shelter. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I thought he burnt his own house down. I was like, well, okay.
No.
All right. I'm looking through the parts here that in Henry Cavill's build here. And he's got a GeForce GTX 2080 Ti. You know how expensive those are? That's like $1,500 right there. Those things are super expensive on Amazon right now.
He's a movie star, dude.
Yeah, I'm sure he's got plenty of money here. He's got an AMD.
Not for drapes, though.
Yeah, that was a little shabby. AMD CPU, a Ryzen, I don't know. I really like this CPU cooler, though. So triple radiator, and it's got the temperature on the outside. So it's the temperature of the CPU and the GPU, just like big, bold letters there. That's really cool. I haven't seen that before. Fractal case, that's great. Good power supply. Yeah, I mean, that's a solid build right there. Wow.
Holy shit, does Sniper really know me? So I guess we have something called a pee segment. You can go on about this, Bobby, but I have to pee so bad right now, and it's exactly where it says pee segment. Like, he nailed me. I'll be back.
Okay. All right. So while we're waiting for Emilio to come back, what we have here is we were talking a few weeks ago about, oh my God, I've got that stupid thing on my computer where if I shake a window, then it minimizes everything but that window. We were talking about Dr. Disrespect and all the stupid, let me turn everything back on. I'm sorry, guys. There we go. We're talking about Dr. Disrespect and all the articles and how everybody's trying to get those clicks. So we've got a list of Dr. Disrespect Twitch, or I'm sorry, Dr. Disrespect articles here regarding his Twitch ban. And we're going to see which one is the most clickbait here. First one we've got from Forbes is Dr. Disrespect's Twitch ban didn't start as a publicity stunt, but it's turning into one. Pretty good. Not really, though. I don't think that's getting you too many clicks. Next one from Essentially Sports. Dr. Disrespect gotta be so mad. PewDiePie speaks about his Twitch ban. So this one I like because literally they made an article, a news article, about PewDiePie was streaming one day and just made an offhanded comment about Dr. Disrespect's situation. Just, you know, said something. And that's what news is these days. 2020. Welcome to 2020. Oh, my God. All right. Next one. Another one from Forbes. Dr. Disrespect's Twitch ban. The strange, endless silence. It's kind of ominous. I respect Forbes for not being super clickbait here. All right. This one from GameSpot. This is where we get clickbait here. Dr. Disrespect's Twitch ban. What we know after 2 weeks. See, that's good because you want all the info, right? Like you want to know the juice or the squeeze or the, what do they call that? The tea. Yeah, I think. So you want to be up to date? What we know after 2 weeks. Like they got the info, apparently. All these articles tell you the exact same thing, by the way. That's the joke here. Every single one of these articles has the exact same information. BBC News, all right. The British, they're always a little more, I don't know. I'd expect more from the British here. Let's see. Dr. Disrespect, the mystery surrounding his Twitch ban. That one's pretty good. All right. Metro, Dr. Disrespect, real name, wife, net worth, and why was the Twitch star banned? That's probably the winner right there. That's super clickbait. And they even got real name, wife, net worth. Those are like, if you type in Dr. Disrespect, those are probably the autocomplete things that come up there. Like that's really good SEO there. Million clicks for that guy. Another Forbes one. We might never find out why Twitch banned Dr. Disrespect. Probably not. What's funny is all these articles show up in my stupid Google feed. Like all of them. Even though I keep telling them I don't want to see this. Another one from Forbes. One big question remains about Dr. Disrespect's Twitch ban. What we know. That's kind of a leading title. I could see that one. I could see clicking on that one. Another one from Forbes. Dr. Disrespect looks like he's planning a comeback. Here's what we know. These all
That's
have...
Fair.
That one's all right. You missed some of the better ones.
That's okay.
Dr. Disrespect teases return with cryptic video. These are some of the later articles that were coming out.
Yeah. Too.
The story unfolds.
Who put this together? Let's get rid of that guy.
XQC discusses Dr. Disrespect Twitch ban. So we got to get everyone else's take on this. I wonder what his opinion was. Like, what does he discuss? When?
Well, that one's pretty out there, dude.
Alinity slams claims she's responsible for Dr. Disrespect's Twitch ban.
Which is such, it just means that somebody at one point said that's why he left.
Yeah. Oh my God. See, the thing that I find so funny about all this is there's not really any news. The news is we don't know. He got Twitch banned and we don't know what happened. And yet the amount of articles that we've had regarding this and the amount of content people have made from this and the clicks they've garnered, oh my God, boggles the mind.
It boggles the mind.
It's that's the state of news right now. Okay. All right. We're done with Henry Cavill here. We're done with news. We're moving on to listener questions.
Listener questions.
All right. Okay. Make sure I got this up here. Yep. Okay. We've got quite a few listener questions here, some coming from the same people. So I've grouped them all together. First question is coming from Omerta. Favorite boss fights, least favorite boss fights, hardest boss, any other type of boss related question? Who's the boss?
So recently, I would definitely have to say I didn't like in Gunfire Reborn, I didn't like that first boss was just a DPS check. Like, I feel like you should always be able to skill your way out of a boss. But there's just no way to beat that guy unless you're doing X amount of damage. Don't you feel, Bobby?
Yeah, the game requires you to play over and over again. By the way, I didn't mention this, but I probably will never play that game again because I had the best run I'm ever going to get with Gunfire Reborn. I got everything went right, all my abilities. I leveled up this lightning gun. I had this super good lightning build, and me and one other dude beat the whole game on Elite, and I've done everything now. Like, I don't know what other experience I could have from that game unless they add a new character or more levels or something. And it's still in early access, but I had such a good run that I think it killed the game for me.
You fucked a Gunfire Reborn supermodel and you just can't go back to the regular girls, right?
I guess no? That's a really forced, awkward analogy. but boss fights, God, what's a good boss fight? Whenever I hear boss fights, I always think of Deus Ex, because that game was the one that they had different people designing the boss fights, and it was really, it didn't fit into the game, and it was always like, people really complained about the boss fights in that game until the new version of it came out, like the one with all the DLC. This was Human Revolution, not Mankind Divided, or the second new one that came out. But really good boss fights.
I'm trying to think of that rogue, that Souls-like I've been playing, Bobby. This year.
Remnant from the Ashes?
Remnant from the Ashes. You know, as I was playing that game and going through the bosses, I'm noticing these little tweaks that really aren't even supposed to be noticed. But I'm like, man. This is what boss fights are supposed to do. First of all, a boss is supposed, like a real boss, is supposed to put you in awe. I think that's step one. Mm-hmm. So something grand, something you have to look up to or not be able to figure it out, some mystery. Two, I like the way you put this years ago, I think. You said that it should be a culmination of everything you've learned and gathered up into that point, right? So I learned how to hit weak points from this bad guy, blah blah blah, and goes on and on. And so it's like a check on your skills up until that point. Yeah. That's not a necessary thing, but it's a nice touch. But man, did this game have these tweaks that I enjoyed so much? Just a couple. There's one boss where you have to look up at him, but there's holes on the ground, so. It's this trick between like making sure your footing's right and doing damage. Which one are you going to do? How much are you going to do it? There is a guy with a giant fucking, I forget exactly how it works, but he has all these pots, these clay pots all over his house and or his area. And he does this spinning attack, whirlwind attack. And when he breaks a pot, a bad guy comes out. So you're trying to kill him, yeah, like an ad. You're trying to kill him without him destroying his own house. And that was like something I've never seen before. And it almost seemed like every one of the bosses, there was something like peculiar, but in a good way. And so the boss design on that game, fan-fucking-tastic. Hmm. Fan-fucking-tastic.
Which game?
Remnant from the Ashes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that sounded. You know, there's games out there too where it's just like an entire boss fight. Like, what's the one where you climb up the monster? It's not a PC game.
Yeah, Shadow of the Colossus.
Shadow of the Colossus. Yeah, I like that idea of just this towering giant monster. I'll tell you one unique boss fight that I always remember was from the first Legend of Grimrock. The final boss is a cube. And it just, it doesn't roll because a cube can't roll, right? But it just flops around on this area. And it's a grid-based game, right? A grid-based real-time RPG. So you have to constantly dodge it and attack it when you can without getting hit by it. And there's all these pits that can knock you down. But I always thought it was funny that just the final boss is a square. In the second Legend of Grimrock, it was this big wizard and, you know, it was a little more grand. But I kind of like the balls of just saying, hey, let's make the final boss this really, it was a well-designed cube. Let me see if I can find it here. Legend.
Well, it fits the game so well, right? Because it's such a grid-based game. Mm-hmm. You're hard locked into these grids. So what fits in a grid, it is more than a cube.
Yeah. Oh, here it is. I'll pull up the video. Turn off the audio so you can see the amazing battle with the cube. God, I wish I could find another game like this. I've been looking. There's a few more out there, but I'm just, I love these types of RPGs, these grid-based ones.
Bobby, you ever play Wizardry from Nintendo?
I have Wizardry 6, 7, and 8 on the PC, and I swear, like, no more than just a week or two ago, I loaded those up to play them, but those are very old games. And they're kind of like this, but Wizardry 8, I think, is more just, it gets away from the grid, and it's more just like free roaming. So yeah, it didn't quite do it. There's another one called Vaporum that looks really good. I might check that one out. Yeah, oh, that guy got squished by the cube. yeah, I don't know. Any other boss fights you can think of that were really great?
Not off the top of my head.
I always thought it was weird how it was kind of like a sigh of relief, but looking back, I was like, that kind of sucks, but Far Cry 3 kind of did away with boss fights. They like led up to this scene where you thought, okay, this is going to be a boss fight, and then it was a cutscene and maybe a quick time event. I thought that was kind of lame.
I feel like we got away from boss fights for a few years, and there's so many games that everybody's doing everything, but there was a good like 5-6 years that like it just people were trying to get rid of it, I feel like, or just like they didn't want to go into the trope anymore, so boss fights kind of faded away. But I'm glad they're back, man. You need them. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's a thing I need.
Oh god, I had it on the wrong screen while I was playing that video. I apologize. All right, Emerita's got some other questions here. What game have you spent the most time in? All time game, not something recent. So
it's not even close. It's EverQuest. It's not even
EverQuest. Yeah, that'll probably never be beaten, right?
No, never.
It's the same with World of Warcraft for me. Like, there's no game I can play enough. Even if I started playing a game right now and just played nothing but that game, it would take me a while before it ever caught up to World of Warcraft. Yeah. I don't know. Like, in a distant second, probably Heroes of the Storm, but on Steam, if you look at Steam, I think Deep Rock is up there with almost 500 hours.
Yeah, mine is like TF2, probably 900 hours or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of what else is out. There's some surprising ones. We should bring that up another day. We can do it pretty quickly, can't we? We're both at our computers.
Yeah, it might take some time. Because on mine, I've got so many games, it takes a while to load. But I know mine. Mine is Deep Rock Galactic, around 500 hours. I've got a little over 200 hours in Darkest Dungeon. And oddly enough, I've got a lot of hours in Age of Empires Online and also Super Monday Night Combat. Those ones are pretty far up there.
It's so weird that Super Night Combat is so high up, dude. I don't feel like we played it that much, but maybe you're cheating on me, dude, in between games.
I played a lot of that.
What do I click on here, Bobby? Do you know? I'm at my profile.
I think you've got to go to, this is the part of the show where we just sit here and troubleshoot stuff. Mm-hmm. You go to games and then you sort it by time played. So if I go to my profile, then I click on games in the right column. My 6,703 games. And then
I have less than 500.
It should be sorted automatically by playtime, and my computer might crash now trying to load all that up. So hopefully that doesn't happen. If it ever comes up, dude, I'll let you know.
I play a lot more video games than you do.
You're talking about
based on your hours. No, just based on the hours that you were talking about. So I've got 1,000 hours in TF2. I've got
but most of my TF2 hours were before they started counting hours on Steam.
I agree too. I have that same issue. Binding of Isaac's 834, but again, that got wiped at some point, or I was playing it before. I forgot what happened there. here we go. Like, this is a huge surprise for me. Elder Scrolls Legends, number 3, with almost 400 hours. Hmm. You know, card games take a long time. It's half an hour every time you play a game or whatever, 20, 30 minutes. Then PUBG, another surprise, 362. Elder Scrolls Skyrim, 200 hours on that. See, I wouldn't be surprised there. I would have felt like that would have been like number 2 or 3. Grim Dawn is up there. Left 4 Dead. Where's your Left 4 Dead? I have 143 hours.
It's probably around. Oh, you don't have your list. Yeah. Mine's very high. I think mine's around 180. Yeah, mine's still loading. Gotcha. It might even finish one day. But yeah, I think mine's around 180 for Left 4 Dead 2. Left 4 Dead 1 is probably around 80 or 100. But I don't know, man. I played a lot of variety of games. I don't think I've spent a whole lot of time in... There's been some, obviously. Like some that I went way off the deep end. Killing Floor 2's got like a little over 100. But I found that I don't spend... It varies per game, but it's really uncommon for me to spend more than 30 hours. That's where there's a steep drop-off for me with games.
I think Heroes of the Storm beat WoW. Not even close.
Maybe. I played that game pretty consistently for 4 years, man. It's entirely possible. But then after that, I played more WoW. So I don't know. And like, I'll probably play more WoW in my life, unfortunately. All right. Last question from Omerita. Are hot dogs a sandwich? I guess the meat and two pieces of bread.
I would say no.
No. All right. Hot dogs are not a big hot dog guy, I'll tell you.
Nor me either. I'd rather go most other foods.
All right.
Look, Costco ones are pretty good and super cheap.
You're talking about the ones that you buy and cook yourself, or the ones you get from that little thing they got outside,
restaurant? They got outside. Yeah.
All that food from there is pretty adequate. I wouldn't call it good. I'd say it's pretty adequate.
Well, the pizza is good. I would say the pizza's good, and it's cheap.
Yeah, it's like super cheap. It used to be under $10.
I think it's still $10. It's $9.99 anyway.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it used to be $8. All right. Some comments and questions from Hollow Point here. He has been talking to us about the Oculus Quest. He says, regarding the $80 Oculus Link cable, I don't think it's necessary. I have a cheap Amazon Basics cable with a right angle adapter, and I've never had a problem. Just make sure the Oculus app is kept up to date and you're golden. So we had that question last week. I said, maybe you want to stick with the cable just in case, but it looks like he's using a generic one and it's fine. The thing we need to figure out is I read something somewhere that said, the cable is a USB-C. You have to have a USB-C port on your computer to plug it in. And I do not have that. I have that on my laptop, not on my computer, though.
So do we have to get an adapter? We should talk to Hollow Point.
Yeah, I actually messaged him. Hopefully he'll get back to me. But here's the thing, dude. If you get an adapter like USB-C to USB 3.0, that's fine and it might work. But the reason you use USB-C is for that throughput. I don't know if using an adapter is going to slow it down.
Yeah,
because there's only so much data you can push through a USB 3.0 port. Although that's a lot. It might work. I don't know. We'll see. Okay,
and that's why we got to switch to those fractal cases, man. They got the USB-C on the front.
Yeah, now. Yeah, that's true. Hollow Point asks, do you connect your computer to a UPS, an uninterruptible power supply? I just bought one, so I don't have to worry when storms pass through. I get a lot of lightning in my area, so it's a must-have to protect my PC. I had, many years ago, maybe 15 years ago, I had a UPC or UPS that I used for my computer. And other than that, I've never used one. And I leave my computer running 24/7 all the time. I've lived in this place for about 8 years now, and only 2, maybe 3 times, I think, has the power ever gone out in this building in the 8 years that I've been here. So it's really not a big issue for me. So I don't use one. But I mean, if you're at a place where that is an issue, like an older building, then yeah, it might not be a bad idea. They are super heavy and they can be super expensive too.
Yeah. It depends on your location, I guess. We don't really have, I mean, the chances of an earthquake knocking out the power grid are really low. That shit just kind of, I mean, we had one blackout, remember downtown, Bobby? Like 6 years ago, we had like a 2-day blackout, but that was it. Besides that, that's about it.
Yeah, and you do need to replace the batteries in those after a while. The one that I had lasted for years, though, so, you know, the batteries don't need to be replaced that often. But yeah, the other advantage of a UPS is to make sure that you're getting clean power to your computer as well. Like, there's not going to be any fluctuations that could damage your components. And you should always get a really good power supply. Never go cheap on a power supply. Like, that's so important. Can't stress that enough. But for me, a UPS isn't very necessary.
Likewise.
Yeah. Although you might want to fix something there, dude. You got yours like plugged into a socket and it's like kind of hanging out. It's like,
no, it's fine. It'll be good.
It's a fire hazard. All right. I've got some questions from Warconius. Favorite Microsoft game franchise?
I've never really had one. I mean, what are they? It's like Halo, Gears,
Forza.
Forza and
Fable. Yeah, I mean, for me it'd definitely be Age of Empires.
Yeah, Age of Empires was the other one I was gonna say. So,
sure, dude, I even like Age of Mythology, man. I really enjoyed that game back in the day. I could play that game again.
Out of all those games, I've really liked one, and that's Gears Tactics. So I guess I'll go with Gears. I don't know. I played Gears 4 co-op. It was fine. It was nothing terrible or nothing great. So I guess I would have to go with that. Microsoft has never really done it. Oh, I guess I like the Ori games, but that's not really done by, I think they just kind of publish it. I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I think most people would answer Halo in that question, but
yeah,
we never really caught on to that. Yep. All right. He also asks, photo mode is becoming popular. What do you think about a photo mode channel in the DLG Discord? No.
What are we talking about? What's photo mode?
Photo mode is when a game includes like a hotkey or a button that you can press and it gets rid of the entire UI, and maybe it'll have like depth of field or sepia filters or something like that. And you can take really cool screenshots. It's kind of like NVIDIA Ansel.
Like Ansel.
Yeah, like Ansel, but built into the game. Gotcha. And it is popping up a lot. What game did I play that had this? I can't remember, but it popped up recently in a game that I was playing. I don't know. I feel like we got too many channels on the Discord, but I don't know. Totally share them if you got some. But
yeah, for sure.
I don't know if we need a whole channel for it. The channels divide us. We need less channels. We need to come together. All right. Next question from Sheer Ponage. Do you guys ever get periods of feeling worn out from playing PC games? Nothing in my library currently interests me, and nothing on Steam or GOG does either. Any suggestions to break the gaming funk?
I've definitely had my slumps, man, for sure. And they've been bad, where, like, you know, almost 6 months, and I'm just like, what the fuck, or 3 months. And it just takes that one game, in my experience. It takes one game that you take a chance on, and it just happens to be exactly everything you needed, and it reaffirms why we're all doing this in the first place. I can't tell you what games broke me out of the funks, and it wouldn't matter if I told you, because I think it's an individual thing. There's not a guaranteed funk breaker. You just gotta have to keep trying.
Yeah, I honestly think, and I see a lot of people go through what he's talking about, and of course I myself have been through it, and I really do think it's oversaturation. You're playing too many games, man. Like, you just got to step off for a little bit and come back later and play it again. You got to have a break.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with taking a break. There's nothing wrong with taking a break.
Yeah.
Not from the podcast, of course.
Yeah.
Keep listening to us, and then when you hear we talking about something, and you're like, oh, I got to play that.
Although I do feel like I can always, like, sometimes I'm having trouble just connecting with a game. Like, I just can't find a game that I can really like and get into. And I find I almost always like a turn-based tactics game. Like, even the ones that aren't so great, like, it just always does it for me. So that can always be a go-to. But I really do think the most important thing is just to take a break. We got a question in chat. Let's get to that before we forget it. Coming up in Discord from Mini, Twitch from Mini Del Macho. What classic MMO RPG do you have awesome memories of? I'm thinking 10 years plus. Technically, WoW would fall into that category. MMO RPG.
I hate to go back to it, but like, I have, you know. In EverQuest, you could do /played, and it would tell you how much time you have played, mm-hmm. not like what your start date, but literally how many hours you had at a computer. And I hit a year. Think about that, guys. Like, think about how much I had to play. I was sitting at my computer for a solid year. Sure, of course, yeah, you walk away from your computer a lot. I dated girlfriends. I had sex while playing EverQuest. I, like, my whole relationship was based around EverQuest. Like, it's just crazy. But some of the things that happened there, I remember. So EverQuest was extremely hard and extremely punishing. And there's this guy who had a lot of money, and he would like pay people to like, you couldn't really power level people, but like as much as you could power level people, like he would. So we started hanging around with this guy because he had tons of money, and he was just like paying people to like, and we were like some of the elite players. And we went after the only dragon in the game at the time, Naggafin, I think it was. And I mean, this is, you know, 40 people raids, and everybody died. Every single person died. 50 was the top level. We're talking about early days. And everybody dies except for this guy that we were power leveling, right? And we're like, is anybody alive? We're using TeamSpeak or whatever it was. He's like, I'm still alive. Like, it had 0% health, right? So, which meant it could still be 100,000 health because it had millions or whatever. But it had 0% health. Like, just fucking attack it. Just go. So he goes in, he shoots one arrow, and he kills this fucking thing. So 49 people died and did all but one arrow's worth of damage to this thing. He got 100% of the XP. So every 5 levels was a hell level, which would take 4 times more XP than a regular level. And when you died, you would lose XP. So for people to get through hell levels, like, people basically had to coddle you. This guy just happened to be able to pay for it. But anyway, just randomly, he shoots this arrow. He levels up 4 times in a row. We're talking about 6 months worth of work at the time, because this game is so fucking hard. He goes bing, 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 bing. He levels 4 times, including the worst tile level, which was 45. And then he also had soul proprietorship or whatever of looting the thing, because we're all dead. And luckily he was a cool dude, and he passed everything out. But that was the craziest thing I'd ever seen in all of video game dump, like months of work for an arrow.
I wonder where that guy is right now.
he was like a computer programmer way back then, and he worked from home,
so he's probably not doing too good.
Who knows?
He's probably got a bad back, and it's just not really. Oh, man. I've heard that story so many times. I just always wonder about that guy.
Yeah.
What greatness did he achieve?
His name was, man, what's the, in Lord of the Rings, what's his name? The guy that's the ranger that turns out Legolas? To be the king. He turns out to be the king Legolas? Of everybody. No. Oh. He's an elf.
Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah, that guy.
Aragorn.
Aragorn, yeah, that was his name.
Okay.
Anyway, I love that story, man. It's crazy.
Yeah. MMOs, man. Yeah, 2007, wow. It'll never get better than that for me. It's all downhill after that. All right, last question from Controlled Pairs. What's the oldest game Bobby's played in the last year? So I checked my list.
It's got to be that. I was going to say the Star Wars game, maybe?
No. No, I checked my list of all the 45 games. Well, probably 40 or 50 now, but the 45 games that I've played so far this year, this calendar year. And the oldest one, I believe, is Turok 2. Turok 2 Seed of Evil, which I want to say came out in the late 90s. But yeah, there were a couple like Knights of the Old Republic, Jedi Knight. Like I've played a few, like not Jedi Knight, Jedi Outcast. So I don't know, maybe that one. But yeah, pretty sure Turok 2 is the oldest one that I've played this year to any substantial degree.
Yeah.
Sometimes I load up an old game and I'm like, oh, this isn't working or not feeling this. 1998 would be like
5 years ago or something. I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know,
man.
I hate old games.
Binding of Isaac's getting pretty old now, though.
Sure.
When did that game come out? 2000. I want to say that was 2011. Coming up on 10 years.
Yeah. I don't know if you want to call Rebirth. Rebirth is a new game, I would say.
Yeah, they've got a confusing line of DLC for that game. I can't quite understand it.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I think that is an episode right there. What are we playing next week?
I downloaded Rocket Arena. I was pleasantly surprised at what it is, man. Going into it, I was like, this is bullshit. I hope it's really good. But basically what it is it's Smash Brothers in a third-person perspective. So you're using your rockets to make people more hurt so that they're lighter, so that they get knocked off. It's a King of the Hill game.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not killing each other by hit points. You're trying to knock them off the platform.
We saw this, or we talked about this game a few times and on the radar.
Yeah, but I wasn't sure that that was my assumption, but that's definitely what's going on. So I downloaded it. It looks great. It looks fantastic, actually. It looks like a Pixar movie. So I hope that it holds up. It's free on a little funny story about this. It's premium. It's on Origin Premium.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were talking about it, like, oh, it's free on Origin Premium. And Ray's like, oh, yeah, go download it. And so I went to go download it. And we're all talking about it. It sounds like we're all downloading it so that we could all play together. It was the night that we played Deathwing. And JP Diddy, his thing had lapsed. So it sounded like we were talking about it positively. So he went and bought another year. And then right after he bought it another year, we were like, yeah, this is the worst subscription model there is. And that, like, they've abandoned it. And that, it's really gone downhill. And I actually deleted it, which is true. I deleted it because the app was working. The program was working so poorly that I couldn't even want it on my computer anymore. So I actually launched this game through a browser. And then he's like, well, I just signed up for another year so I can play with you guys. And it gets even worse, dude. And then we dump that and we go play Deathwing instead after paying $120 for the year.
Wow. Well,
yep.
There's lots of games you can play that Jedi Fallen Order on there.
It's true.
Yeah. I have no plans for what to play next week. Nick was recommending Battlefleet Gothic Armada. It is it's an RTS Warhammer 40K game in space with ships. And it's like $30, but right now it's part of Humble Bundle. There's a Warhammer 40K Humble Bundle right now, so might be worth checking out. Does not include Deathwing, unfortunately, but for $1 you can get like 4 games, and I think for like $7.58 you can get 4 more. And it's a pretty good deal, and it's in there at the second tier. So I may check that out, but I don't know. I might get into something else. We'll see.
the thing about the Armada games, I believe that their selling point is that you're playing as capital ships. I believe you play the big boys. You're not doing dogfighting, which is kind of unique. I believe there's two parts. There's part one and part two. I don't know. I want to say that they were received favorably, not breakout hits, but like at least it's something original. You know, it's how do you play a capital ship?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is two of them, and the second one is the one that I believe is part of the Humble Bundle.
I would totally be cool with. I'd be happy listening to your thoughts on that for sure.
Yeah, we'll see, man. I'll go where the wind takes me. I'm not set on it.
He's just waiting for people to buy him games. That's what he's saying.
No, it's just if I force myself, I actually end up forcing myself to play a lot of games. But sometimes if I force myself to play something prematurely, then I won't enjoy it. So, you know, I like to find something that I like to pick up these games naturally, you know. Going to them naturally. Warhammer, there's the Warhammer bundle. Let's take a look at this. So for at the $1 tier, you get Kill Team, Vermintide, Herald of Oblivion, and Dawn of War. Not bad. Dawn of War at this, okay, $7.68, that's where you get Gothic Armada. Okay, so the first one is on Humble Bundle. All right, no, that's too bad.
Whew. Well, who knows which one is the better game of the two?
Yeah, that's true. All right. I think that's
it. Hi, Bobby. Let's call it a podcast.
All right. Can sign us off here.
And Pilaf says it's like FTL and a heart attack at the same time. But he loves this Warhammer stuff. All right. Speaking for Bobby and myself, Gothic titties. Those are the black ones that hang down real low. Gothic titties, everybody. Bye.